The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder!
Please, the 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Max von Karn?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We are getting closer to 0 hour. And, of course, I'm talking about the AFC Championship, the New England Patriots versus the Baltimore Ravens, 6:30. Actually, kickoff 6:40 for those who like to be exact. 6:40 on Sunday here at Gillette Stadium. I'm getting pumped and jacked. What about you, Andy?
I am ready to go. I'm my usual flip-flopping self, though, in this rivalry.
Yeah.
These games, to me, are the hardest that we've done in a decade. You know me. I usually have a feeling, a pretty strong feeling on topics, games.
Right.
These Ravens-Patriots games, I just can't.
Yep.
And I know last year I picked two scores, one for the Ravens and one for the Patriots. I can't get a handle on it. I don't feel strongly that either team is ready to get the job done or not get the job done. I could see it going either way.
Yeah, the big thing here with these Ravens is they don't care who you are, where they're playing. They've been there before, right, in terms of the moment. So you rule all that out. All that stuff we talked about, Schaub and all that, you rule all that out.
But they're not good enough for me to say they're going to win.
Right. Right.
And the Patriots, in my opinion, aren't good enough for me to say the Ravens have no chance.
So it really does come down to who's going to play better.
Probably in the fourth quarter. You know, McCourty just said it. It's probably going to be who plays better in the fourth. They're both going to get there in some route, and whoever makes the plays.
Who's going to make the least amount of mistakes?
Yeah.
It's
big
all
plays.
That.
You know, do you get a deflection that's a pick six or a kick return? Whatever. I can't get a handle on it.
I like the Patriots because I think
you've never not liked the Patriots in any game you've ever picked.
And why should I?
Because they lose games.
Yeah, some of the time.
Like when I picked the 49ers to win about a month ago, the 49ers came in here and kicked
their
ass.
Pretty much every game, the Patriots are favorites, right? And there's a reason for that.
Right.
It's not like because
theoretically
the bookies and the media just are in love with them like I am. It's because they are better. There's a reason why I picked
them. But
what
we got down to yesterday, and talking about the spread, if you're going to talk about favorites, there's money related too.
Yeah, but it's not like this is the Cleveland Browns podcast, and I'm always picking the Browns. Okay?
Right, but you would.
I'm picking a team.
If Robert Kraft owned the Browns, you'd be picking the Browns.
I'm picking the team that is the better team.
Sometimes.
Most of the time.
Sometimes.
The vast majority of the time.
Yes, you're right, because they play in the AFC East. So
whatever.
Six times a year, they're clearly
the better majority of the time, they are going into a game the favorite and deserve to be picked by anyone with their head screwed on straight. Anyway, I don't want to get off topic. So I'm picking the Patriots and thinking they're really going to win it because I think they feel real good about their offense right now, even without Gronk. I think Brady and Josh McDaniels, Belichick. I think
Brian Daboll.
Yeah, I think they feel good about what they can do. They understand the matchups, and we'll go into this game feeling, look, if we just do what we know we can do, we're going to be okay.
And I agree with that because I do think the Ravens' defense is old and susceptible, and I think you can get Ray Lewis in some positions he doesn't want to be in, and Ed Reed has not been the same Ed Reed. I think there's a lot of, you know, their best corner is on IR. There's a lot of reason to say the Patriots can win, but I feel like I can play the same game with the Ravens. I can tell you reasons why the Ravens are going to win, right? Or you don't agree
well,
with that?
Well, tell me what they are.
Well, I think their offense is playing really well right now. I think Joe Flacco's deep ball is a recipe for disaster against this team, which, by the way, still gives up 20-plus yard pass plays, you know, even with the new look to leave McCourty's secondary. Ray Rice, if you're going to, you know, if you all of a sudden say, okay, we're keeping our safeties deep, well, now I got to deal with Ray Rice.
Right.
And Dennis Pitta and Dennis Dixon, not Dennis Dixon, he's a different name, but Ed Dixon.
Ed Dixon.
You know, Anquan Boldin.
No, I agree with
can
that.
Can go off
that,
at any time.
That worries me.
This
absolutely.
Pass defense, the yeah. pass press, the pass rush, Chandler Jones is dinged up.
Yeah.
You know, I know we've deemed Rob Ninkovich, because he flew like Superman, completely healthy, but even a lackluster pass rush, there's a chance that neither guy is at 100%.
No, I agree with that. I think this, I don't know what they're going to set the number at, but I think this is going to be a relatively high-scoring game.
Yeah, 51.
Yeah.
51. That's a relatively, in you know, betting world, that's a big number, right?
Even more interesting than that, that guy R.J. Bell, the bookie expert guy.
Our Vegas guy.
The last 118 NFL playoff games. 59 have gone over, 59 have gone under.
That's awesome.
Is that right?
That's ridiculous.
It is. It really is. It just shows that these guys know what they're doing.
And well, those guys have the Patriots as a 9-plus point favorite. So you're right, Fred. Patriots are going to win.
Did you hear the guy, Andy, today?
What guy?
The guy from ESPN that's the betting. They have a guy who's sort of in charge of betting. ESPN has a guy in charge of everything. You know,
right.
You know how we always joke around, Matt Smith always jokes around that everybody's a vice president or something?
Vice president of paperclips.
Right. Yeah. Well, they have a vice president of everything, literally, ESPN. Chad Millman, I believe his name is. He's a gambling expert. And he said basically what the three of us were saying yesterday. They set lines based on public perception. That's exactly how Vegas does it. They bet based on where they think the money is, and they had to do something to try to get Baltimore money.
Because
if they came out with a 6-point spread, 7-point spread, all the money would have been on the Patriots, they say.
That makes sense.
The Patriots are the hot team. They're the national team. He used it as an example. He goes, you know, like the old days with, you know, in the 70s with Pittsburgh and Dallas. Everybody was Pittsburgh and Dallas. You know, it became San Francisco. It became Green Bay, you know. Those are the major teams that have major followings. The Patriots are one of those teams now. They have fans that they know the Patriots. They know Tom Brady. I'm betting on Tom Brady because a lot of casual bettors and guys that aren't necessarily in it professionally bet these kinds of games. They're going to watch the game this weekend. They want a little something on the game. Now, that's obviously not the guy that Vegas is worried about because that's usually not a big, big money guy, but public
perception. That guy's probably not betting with Vegas. He's betting with the guy down the street or something.
Yes, and the line has, I believe it went from 9.5 to 9. So it's moved very, very little. You know, so it's they've done a good job of evening out the money, because I think that if it was lower than that, it would have gone up.
Right.
You know, and he even said it's, you know, you can get it at 8.5 in some places. So they have gotten some Baltimore money, which is what their goal was, because they didn't want everybody betting on the Patriots. They take a bath when the money's all on one side.
Sure.
They don't want that.
Yeah. That makes sense. It certainly makes sense.
Just wanted to clarify. He's an expert on the gambling industry, not gambling.
Okay.
Right? Because if he was an expert in gambling, he wouldn't work for ESPN. He'd have like $1 billion because
yeah.
he would bet every week and
right.
win.
It's like
and,
those yeah. guys that do well, the success books.
Yeah.
While you're writing a book, just go out and be successful.
Yeah, right. No, you're absolutely right. Because in even then, later on, they were asking him questions about the Notre Dame and Alabama game and what he thought and how the line was for that.
Do you think Teo had a girlfriend?
Well, that's how it came up. Do you think that may have, you know, whatever. So he said, you know, it's funny. I just completely dropped the ball on the Alabama. You know, as soon as the spread came out, the line came out, I was all over Alabama. I thought there was no way that Notre Dame could play with them. And he goes through this long, detailed explanation of all the reasons why he thought Alabama was going to kill him. And then he wrote his column, and he had these metrics that they used. They have 8 different metrics that they used to sort of pick the games, and Notre Dame had better metrics in 5 of the 8. So he wrote this column all about how Notre Dame could cover. And he said, I should just stuck with my original feeling like the two teams weren't on the same level. And he really,
he's allowed to bet?
Really dropped the ball. I don't know, but I'm sure that he wants his opinion columns, his advice columns, to be accurate, because in that business,
right.
It's not like you and I say, no. Hey, son of a bitch, I thought Houston was going to cover. You know,
no, I agree with
it's
that.
It's not the same thing.
But it's just, you know, that's his job, so put your money where your mouth is. You know, like, I think he should be allowed to gamble. I don't know what ESPN's policy on him is.
I know there have been guys like in the Globe and Herald over the years that did actually used to bet the games. Now, I don't know if they still do that anymore. You know, it's kind of like, you used to be able to smoke and drink at the office, Fred. You know, they frown upon that sort of thing nowadays.
Right.
How did they bet it?
Call it into Vegas or
I don't know.
In Everett?
No. I don't know exactly how they did it.
Did they just go down the street?
I remember growing up that they used to have, I forget the details, but they used to have like the tally, and I don't know if it was part like shtick, you know,
right,
like where you were going at the end of the year and where you're, I know, like the Herald guy, remember I Am Better?
Sure.
He used to always talk about the trips that he made, and then like one year, like he couldn't make a trip because he lost. I don't know if it was just part of the narrative to sort of make it look
like. Yeah,
it
was like him and Jim Lazarus was the other guy?
Jim Lazar.
Lazar.
Yeah, Jim Lazar's not a gambling expert, though. He's just a guy who picks the games.
Oh, okay.
He's a copy editor. Did I just blow the lid off of that?
Then, the Herald was just a den of iniquity.
Jim's a bunch of
old guys smoking cigars and, you know,
And
whatever.
Young guys who were going places, except Paul.
Right.
Young guys getting their coffee.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, Bill Simmons.
Right.
They all young guys that went places.
Right.
Paul Perillo, young guys who watched other young guys go places.
Now he's an old guy.
Going nowhere.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. We have to talk a little bit about this Manti Te'o thing. I mean,
yeah, we should probably save it, though.
I figure at the end we're going to talk about the games and do the picks. And
I don't buy it. We're going to start now.
You don't buy what?
I don't buy that he was duped.
Okay.
I just watched it. People upstairs. This is the greatest water cooler story in the history of the world, I think. I got to think today, everywhere in the country, everyone's talking about this because it's so weird, unbelievable. Everybody can have an opinion. Nobody's right or wrong. But I just don't buy it that he's this naive, trusting, shy, Mormon, Hawaiian kid. You watch him on the field. He looks like a normal player. He's got that swagger. I don't buy that he didn't have teammates that would have said, wait a minute, you've been doing what with who and you've never met her and what's going on here? Like, everybody's trying to sway me. Maybe he's not really, you know, because he's a virgin and he doesn't do all that stuff. He's not tight with his teammates. He's tight with some teammates. I don't know which ones they are, but he has friends on that team.
Well, there's just too many
holes
in the story.
I think he's an habitual liar. I think he's sick. And I think this story is covering up the last story and it's, you know, what a wondrous web we weave.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for the Notre Dame guy unless he's in on it.
Yeah, it's
because I also think there's a chance because Tom Condon's his agent, IMG's Te'o's agent, and you know he's going to speak soon. Apparently, Jeremy Schapp is going to do the interview on ESPN. I think there's a chance IMG, Notre Dame, and all these huge business corporations are in spin mode, and they're probably now helping him cover up what he started.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame made a big error last night coming out so quickly, and I know that they feel like they weren't coming out quickly. They knew about this since just after Christmas, and they claim they were about to disclose this to everybody.
Sure.
Even if that were true, I think they made an error last night because it came out. First of all, they can't be 100% sure. They can't be that the kid is right. That they might believe him. Jack Swarbrick might believe Te'o.
And he cried.
But he can't be sure. And to come out, like Andy said, it's
cover up.
It's just reeks of spin.
Yeah.
And I don't, I would tend, I'm on Andy's side. I think that it's very implausible to me that this wasn't some sort of scam.
It's our old thing. Stinks.
And I'm not necessarily saying it was an elaborate ruse to do what it ended up doing. I think it started as a fictitious girlfriend.
Like
and
Eric
sort of
has occasionally.
Blossomed out of control. I've gotten a ton. I don't know. I'm sure you have, too. I've gotten a ton of tweets. Well, the Eric Scalavino story is unfolding in South Bend. I had at least 10 people send me something today.
I mean, do you buy it?
No, I don't. Sorry.
And if Fred doesn't buy it.
You see Darren Revelle.
I mean, I'm the guy that held out for Lance Armstrong until last year.
Yeah, you bought into the biggest fraud in the history of sports.
Right.
So, yeah, you generally buy
it. I want these guys to be telling the truth.
Yeah, I just don't think
But they don't.
Is. But, Paul, in a draft that doesn't really have a lot of superstars, his combine press conference is going to be chaos. It's going to be the big one. It's going to be standing room only. It's going to be the
rush
of
people. You can have that one.
Well, you know what I want to do? I'll just go there. I'll stand in front of him for 30 seconds. I'll either believe him or not, and I'll walk away.
Yeah, well,
and I'll deem him a liar or a sad story.
For stuff like that. I kind of agree. And as much
with it.
As much static as I give you for the eyeball test. See, you know, this guy,
He's pointing to Eric's chair.
This guy deems whether or not a guy can play based on that.
Right.
I think if you're asking about a guy's character or how he came across to you, you might not be right. And you do have a switch that just goes off. It's yep. like within 30 seconds, you're either with them or against them.
That's always right.
That's Andy Hart's.
You're leaving out the part that it's always
right. I don't
know. Yeah. Who was it wrong on?
Jerry Reese.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
99.9% of the time, it's right.
But on something like this, I think that you could accurately look and say, you know what? He came across as believable. I think he got caught in a bad situation or the opposite. You know what? This guy is just compounding the lies, and he's trying to spin it. He'd be much better served to just say, listen, I did this, and this, and it's a mistake.
Oh, either way, he dropped in my draft.
It's a mistake.
Because I don't think he could play. You know that all along.
Yeah, and this is going to be unfortunate.
But B,
this is not Chad Greenway.
I kind of treat this, I said this to Fred, like the Rex Ryan tattoo. I don't like it. It's bad decision-making, whether it's naive or lying. Something at his core. Like, am I going to feel comfortable giving this guy, whatever the story plays out as, mm-hmm. $15 million and fame and fortune and everything's going to work out okay? Like,
and know that he's
he
capable
makes bad
of doing
decisions.
Something like
yeah.
this.
Yeah. I'm not comfortable with him. He just, to me, became a mid-round pick.
But you know, if he's what stinks gullible, for you is you wanted to make him a mid-round pick based on his play
right,
on the field.
I think he
and that's going to be unfortunate for you because people are going to think you're overreacting to this story.
Yeah.
But it to me, it's the most fascinating, definitely sports story. I mean, I guess the Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding is kind of
that
in that ballpark.
Yeah.
But this one, because of the new ageness of it, I guess, and because I don't even know if it's possible. I mean, we do Twitter and blog, but I wouldn't consider myself like a big time into social media. And that's the, what's his name? Jack Swarbuck.
Yeah, the AD.
Got into that last night that he doesn't even think he can understand it. And he thinks the lower your age, the more you can maybe understand this. And the older you get, the less, because you've never lived in that world. You don't, I mean, we see it.
That's
we see
point.
It with Julian Edelman last week had like, I forgot what he called it, but he was retweeting any hot girl that sent him a picture. Like,
right.
That's like a little piece of this. Like, a hot girl sends a pic. I do it all the time. If somebody tweets me and they look hot in their little, I don't even know how big that box is, well, I click on it. And half the time, it's a fat girl who looks hot, but,
it's
you know,
pretty
she
amazing. Isn't. Like, you know, we all think of Twitter and we think of Instagram and Facebook.
Deidre Hart online, too, again.
Do you know what the hottest application is for kids right now? It's none of those. It's a thing called Snapchat.
Is that the one that goes away?
You can right.
Yeah, and that's for sexting.
Right.
Because it goes away. That's
exactly.
all it's for.
Exactly.
It takes a photo and goes away
it's
how
for
quickly
doing the
you
dumb,
want it.
Stupid, dirty
right.
stuff, and now they think.
Yeah, but
they
does
won't
it
get
really?
Caught. Well, that's the thing. Does it really?
Isn't
I don't
it
know.
Always somewhere?
But that's the catch. That's the hook that has all
right.
these kids using
that's
it.
That's all these slutty eighth grade
but
girls.
I had never even heard of it, and I think, oh, I'm plugged in. I'm a techie.
I got breaking news.
Paul, you're going to. You, this
I have breaking news.
It happened yesterday, but this is big.
But I think they're going to go to it on ESPN and have
they're
the
gonna
number
take
one
the number
pick.
One
making the pick?
It's yeah. history
oh,
in the
I
making.
Tweeted about it this morning. You know, we yeah. wanted this the team in this stadium to trade up every draft, and finally they've traded up.
For the number one
number
pick.
One overall pick. All I need now is a Quinn.
I can take it live, too, if you want.
No, we don't. No.
The revolution
I
we're
I
talking
was joking.
Is that guy Taylor Twellman? He looks like
yeah,
Taylor.
It is.
But he looks different.
Alexei Lalas and Taylor Twellman.
The New England Revolution have traded up in the MLS Super Draft. Is that what it's called? For the number one overall pick.
I want that guy.
They've traded Jonathan Kraft for
I don't. The guy who can't stay awake during the draft with the blonde mohawk.
Well, if there's anything more boring than a soccer game, it's a soccer draft.
I'm not so sure.
By
all right,
the way, so, two former Rev studs.
I know
there.
That no one's going to score a goal in a
Twellman
game.
And Lalas.
I don't know who's going to get taken in the draft, Andy. There is some intrigue.
Yeah, but they're going to tell me who's taken, and I'm not going to know who was taken.
All right, so Manto Teo's on the table. We're not going to pretend like it's out there. If people want to talk about it, that's fine. We just came from a series
like
of podium press conferences. Logan Mankins, Devin McCourty, and Nate Solder, the usual stuff.
And Miss yeah. Mankins, what did he have to say? I watched
well,
Solder
when,
McCourty.
Jason
when
Cole
Jason
there.
Cole asked him if it still annoys him when players bring up Spygate, gets under his skin like Aya Mendejo did, he goes, no, but you are.
He's better.
And the room erupts in laughter.
He's the best.
But other than that, same old, downplaying home field advantage, all of them. Even though Solder says, I don't know, I never played on the road in the playoffs.
I love Nate Solder.
Yeah, he was very funny. He was
he's such
that
a nice
coy,
guy.
Like not going to say anything and then laugh kind of uncomfortably.
And somebody said, do you feel more prepared this time? He goes, I felt prepared last
right.
time.
Except yeah. then he said, what's the difference? And he said, experience.
Yeah.
Well, so You do feel more prepared.
Looks like we took the guy with the blonde faux hawk.
Nice. What's his name? Does he have one name?
Andrew Farrell, University of Louisville.
Okay.
From Louisville.
I don't like him. He's got two names.
No, right. He has to be Kaká.
Yeah. If not, you play like Kaká. Other than that, yeah, I kind of agree with you, Fred. They were just kind of same old, same old.
Yeah.
No offense to them. I don't expect them to come out slinging like
the Patriots.
Oh, he's got his Rev scarf on.
The Patriots players are like that in general because they're so well trained by Bill. But then you put them at a podium in the AFC Championship game. I mean, come on.
Now, is this guy going to get on the phone with, like, Robert and Jonathan, or does that not even happen in this?
Probably with Brian Bilello. Oh,
yeah, Jesus. I was going to say, Robert and Jonathan, I think, have more important things right now.
Lunch.
Right. But that's cool.
The step machine.
The number one pick for the Revolution. So maybe, we're starting to go in the other direction here.
I like it. I like the pick.
All right.
Ooh, bit of a reach.
Nice header. All right. So Manti Te'o, Chip Kelly, officially now the Eagles coach. That would kind of... I guess he signed last night or whatever. So that's
Chip, hooray! Yeah, was the headline,
which is Jeffrey Lurie, was quoted on it yesterday. So I kind of thought that was pretty legit during our show. Yeah. I think we broke that, Fred.
Yeah.
Did you tweet it?
I didn't tweet it. Yeah.
You had it first on Twitter.
That's right.
We had it first on internet radio.
Yeah, we had it first on internet radio.
Gus Bradley also apparently is the Jags coach. That's the name, right? Gus Bradley.
He's got the Jags job.
Defensive
coordinator for the Seattle
a little bit
Seahawks.
Chip Kelly-like. This guy, 10 years ago, was a positional coach at Northern Dakota State.
Of Mines? That's our guy.
Yes. And he's now a head coach in the NFL. Chip Kelly, obviously, was the offensive coordinator at UNH 7 years ago.
Was it you, though, that said that you're okay with these teams taking chances on lesser-known guys?
Especially the Jags, the Bills, the teams that I don't think have a very good chance of landing.
Yeah.
You know, the guy.
They're not in the John Gruden sweepstakes.
Swing for a home run on a guy who could be the next superstar coach, innovative mind, whatever.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's a great move for those guys. You know, this is a way better move than Mike Mularkey. This guy may suck, but it's a far better hiring today than Mike Mularkey.
All right, let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Andre from San Diego, California, has been holding on for quite a while. Hey, Andre.
Yeah, since yesterday.
Good afternoon, fellas.
What's up?
I'm going to start with the predictions. I'm going to go 30-21 Pats. I like the defensive intensity and the focus last game. I think the Ravens, they play us tough, so I think they'll keep it a little around under 30. I see us like tacking on a late field goal towards the end and then maybe getting a meaningless touchdown in there. Paul,
yes.
I want to talk to you about the Brandon Lloyd thing. I think it was yesterday or the day before you mentioned that, and I've noticed this maybe subconsciously, he's always on the ground. His footing never seems to be good. I mean, it does. As far as getting his feet in and making contorting his body, but as far as his constantly having problems, staying on his feet, except for that one pass Brady threw him pretty low where he got the penalty afterwards. Every pass from that game, he was on the ground. Now, do you guys think? I don't know if I heard it here, if it was somewhere else. That's Belichick and him, coaching him to get on the ground and not take hits, or is that just him and? I mean, being scared, or I don't know what it is.
I think it could be that, but, you know, the other thing that it could be is that, you know, with all the other guys, Brady seems to be able to hit them standing up. So maybe he's just not in exact the right place that Brady expects him to be, and he's forced to go to the ground or catch it behind him a little bit.
Every time, though, Fred?
Oh, Fred's all over it, Andre.
Yeah.
He's with you. Fred is exasperated in the press box almost every time Brandon Lloyd catches a pass.
Right. I'm not complaining about the guy. The guy, he's done a hell of a lot more than Ocho Cinco did last
year.
He produces. Yeah. He's the fifth option or whatever it is, and for that he does okay. But I just think it's just incredible. I agree absolutely 100% with you, Andre. It's just uncanny how every time it just seems like he's just in a point where he has to go to the ground or he just can't pick up any yards after the catch. I think I can count maybe on one hand how many times he's been able to catch the ball and actually try to make yards after it. I think
right.
It's like three, four times this year.
Right.
And he's caught 50 balls?
More than that. Like
more than that.
Like 70.
70 balls, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. My last point is, or a question actually, is it's way off topic, but on a pregame social last week, Andy, you got a call from a guy, and he put his girl on the phone, and they said they were going to send you some pics. So the other day,
she was fake.
It was, oh, was it?
No, I'm only kidding. I'm referring to Manti Te'o.
No, but I showed my wife some pictures of Andy and the other guys, and she thought he was pretty cute.
Uh-oh.
She said, well, okay, I'm going to send in some pics. So I sent in some pics for her, and you guys didn't make any comments. I don't know if that's good or bad.
I don't remember.
I saw the picture of your daughter, Andre. She's precious.
Oh, under that. So thank you. Thank you for saying that, Fred. Under that, I had a picture of my wife and my son and my daughter as well, and it's kind of smaller. So
Andre, do you have a trophy wife?
You could say that.
Then I want to see the picture. Where is it, Fred?
You're going to have to show us this.
Are you playing above the rim?
No, I'm 32. She's 28, but I won't even get into the ages when we met. I mean, I'm from Los Angeles. I came out here and I met, you know, this Mexican gal, and we wound up starting a family. Anyways, long story, but I was thinking. I've been listening to you guys for about 3 seasons now. And maybe I'm not, you know, maybe you guys already had something set up or thought about this or talked about this, but well, how about starting a Hearts Hotties little like contest type thing? Maybe you could do a weekly or a monthly thing of the hottest Heart listeners, and you call it Hearts Hotties. And then, you know, I'm sure you
in this game. If this gives me reason to be a creep, I'm all for it.
I thought maybe you guys didn't comment or Andy didn't comment because, you know, the jugs weren't big enough. But I assure you, she's a beautiful woman, and I think she could make it if you started that. And all I want is a little credit for it. I mean, I don't want to get paid or anything.
Okay, well, I will check out your wife at your request as soon as Fred shows me. This feels a little weird. I feel like you're kind of offering her up, but I'll check it out, and I'll get back to you.
I'm not a jealous guy at all. I'm going to send a better one in, too, because that one's kind of small after I looked at it.
Yeah, send a better one with no kids in the picture. That might sway me, too.
Yeah.
Send me one of just her, maybe in lingerie or something.
Hey, I will do it. I'm not a jealous guy at all, man.
Okay,
all
right, I look forward to that.
Okay.
All right, you guys have a good one.
Thanks, Andre.
Thanks, Andre.
Let's get another call. Al's in New Jersey. Hey, Al.
Hey, guys. How you doing? You know, I want to comment about the Te'o about the Te'o first. You know, I have a lot of experience with being duped by women. You know, they say hello, and I say, will you marry me? You know, how long did he supposedly have this online affair with her?
It was like a year, right?
Was it that short? I thought it was longer than that.
Yeah, was at least a year.
I thought it was like 3 years.
But my point is that at some time, he had to have been suspicious. And I feel if he wasn't, then there has to be people involved that are close to him that was probably able to keep him going with it. Because it doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it doesn't. Like, I was talking to Andy this morning, and even if, you know, okay, these internet relationships do exist. People have them.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you know, if you're a young guy, you know, playing football, you know, hey, I'm going to come see you this weekend because we're not playing. Or, you know, you just make an effort to at least see her once.
Right.
You know,
and for him to be so committed, I mean, this guy is a national celebrity and a major celebrity, obviously, on the Notre Dame campus. I got to think there were some girls locally that were interested in him. And okay, he's shy. He's a Mormon. But there are plenty of aggressive girls out there who I think would pursue him, would go after him. And I would think that would be some sort of an impetus for him to meet the other girl that he's staying loyal to. You know what?
And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that doesn't make sense, Al. Okay, so these, you know, Te'o's plugged in. He gets the social. He understands, you know, he's a younger guy, so he grew up with that. Okay, so now he's got her name, right? Isn't one of the first things you do with a girlfriend at that age look up her Facebook page and then start using that Facebook page to communicate? And if he did that, it would have been obvious that.
And didn't they say that supposedly that was part of the relationship? They, like, kept in contact on Facebook and stuff?
But that wasn't her.
Right.
Well, what about his inner circle? So if we all meet a woman, we're going to talk about it. You're going to talk about it with each other. So what about his inner circle, unless people in his inner circle were involved in this for some type of benefit?
I think that's the biggest plot of the story. Everybody has friends. Everybody. Especially when you're the superstar at Notre Dame. I don't care if he didn't go out drinking, so he's not one of the boys. Maybe he's not in the frat. And he has friends on the team. He has friends around campus. Nobody decided, something stinks here. We need to help you, whatever. Something's weird here.
Right.
I don't buy
it. You know, when I was with my friends at that age, If some guy had some girlfriend that he'd never seen, we'd have been all over
right.
it.
Right. Prove
like,
it.
Sure.
Busting his balls.
Yeah, we do it with Eric all the time.
Yeah. You know?
But I mean, in all seriousness, I know we joke around. I just did that to Eric like 2 months after we got home from London. I was joking with him that she didn't really exist.
Right.
Well, especially if you're in love with someone, don't you want to talk about her?
Right.
So, all right, let me make a few points about the game. You know, you talked about the Gronk being out, and I feel very strongly that, I mean, they are going to miss him. But I also feel because they have a run game now, even though they didn't do such a great job, it was like the third game that they played the Ravens, that they pretty much stopped their run in the infancy stage. I think the Pats are going to be able to run on the Ravens. And I really think with the hurry-up offense and with the run game, and don't forget, what they have, like 26 rushing touchdowns, which I think led the NFL. I think that they're going to put Grandpa Lewis and the rest of that old defense to sleep. And even if Flacco has a great game, Brady has a great game, don't you think? You know, the Pats, I could see the spread being 9 points, even though the spread doesn't dictate who's going to win.
If Brady has a great game, the Patriots are going to win. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But, you know, as people like to point out, his recent postseasons haven't always been great. If he doesn't have a great game, will the Patriots win? That's the question for me. Because I have no doubt. If we say Brady had a great game, and I don't necessarily need the numbers, but if I finish the day saying Brady played great, the Patriots will win.
Yeah, but you could also see a scenario where at the end of the game you said Brady played great, but Flacco played great, and our defense couldn't.
Nope, Patriots win.
If Brady plays great, Patriots win.
All right.
There is no doubt in my mind about that.
I agree with Andy, because I don't think Flacco playing great can match Brady playing great in that same amount of points. I agree with Andy.
And I totally – and, you know, I feel more confident about this game than I did about Houston, because I thought – Phillips would come up with some type of defense to possibly stop Brady. Even though I thought that the Pats would win, I feel more confident about this game. I just don't think that defense, you know, Lewis is doing a lot of talking, and a lot of times when you do talking, people jump on board. But, I mean, what has he done this year? And I just think the Pats' defense is much better than the Ravens' defense. I mean, you know, when people talk about pass defense, and that's the only thing when you rate them, what are they, like 28th, 29th?
29th. I
mean, Pat, what is pass defense today?
Most yards allowed, that's all.
Every quarterback is able to put up, you know, passing yardage today. What about, you know, when you talk about their takeaway? If you were to talk about San Francisco or Houston or the better defenses, the first thing they talk about, look at their takeaways. But because they say the Pats have a bad defense, you don't talk about takeaways.
I don't think people talk about that with San Francisco. I think people talk about how they stop you.
Right, but I'm
with San Francisco's defense and like Denver's defense,
general,
they didn't have a lot of takeaways.
Defenses, if you take the ball away,
yeah, I don't think that's accurate. I think people talk about points allowed, obviously, and your ability to force punts. Not necessarily. Taking the ball away is
right.
In addition to
it's,
that
it's
stuff.
Points first, and then your third down conversion rate.
Yeah. Get your ability to get
defense,
off the field.
Right.
Well,
I don't think people highlight takeaways as the number one. I mean, Chicago had a million takeaways. I don't think people looked at them as San Francisco defensively.
It's more the other way. If you have a bad turnover differential, it's very hard to win. When you have a good one, it helps, but there are other factors. But it's usually when you have a minus one,
right.
Those teams don't usually win a lot.
Right, but when the Pats played San Francisco and they fumbled twice.
Yeah.
Now, they lost the game because of that.
Right.
Hold on.
I don't know if because of that, but it didn't help.
I mean, yeah. Kaepernick fumbled five
times
in that game.
It put them down how many points at that time.
Right.
Because how many turnovers ended up in points for San Francisco?
I think the Patriots turned it over four times. The Niners turned it over twice in that game.
Right, but the Niners...
Something like that.
The Niners recovered once or twice.
No, those are...
Yeah, they turned it over four times, the
those
Patriots.
Are the turnover. Kaepernick, okay. Kaepernick fumbled it a bunch of times.
Five.
But they recovered a lot of them.
Yeah, but right. Like one of the ones that he recovered was on fourth down. That's a turnover. They turned it over on downs.
Yeah.
So...
Right. Now, one last thing I want to ask you. Don't you think this is the game, they're home... You have an old defense on the Ravens side that the hurry-up offense, along with their run game, should be able to really tire that Ravens defense out.
It should, but they'll call that depending on the personnel packages. I mean, and they've said that, you know, it's one of those things where they don't go into a game saying, okay, second series, we're going, up-tempo, hurry up. They say a lot of it is deemed by who's out in the field for the defense.
Okay, well, I think they'll go hurry up, though. I think they
well, hurry up, up-tempo, the yeah. quick snap?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I think they will at times, but I don't think it's not going to be like that Denver game where they
– Yeah, I know that there's – like you think there's a huge difference between that. And I think that was the fastest they went, but I don't – really look at that as much different than
I haven't seen a game like that.
Yeah, that was that's the fastest they went, the Denver game. But to me, if they're going 13 seconds between plays or 16 seconds between plays, makes no difference to me. I think they're going to go no huddle, hurry up against Baltimore.
If that worked so well, that game, and that's the only time they've ever implemented it, what is the reason why they wouldn't do something like that? Because it really worked well.
I think a lot of these coaches are – once they do something and it's on tape, they're wary about, you know, doing it a lot unless it's something that they're just such a strength that, you know, they just can't stop us.
And didn't okay, a lot of stuff they do on offense
more,
work well this year? Didn't
I
they
have
lead?
One right. more question I right. want to ask you guys. Okay, and this is the question because it was tossed around somewhere else. Montana has 4 Super Bowls. If Brady goes to the Super Bowl and wins it, he'll have 4, but he'll have 2 losses. What's more impressive?
I think the more.
Yeah.
I don't think it's easy to get to a Super
right.
Bowl. So I think the more you go, the more impressive
See,
it
this
is.
This is where Paul's right. You just can't go by wins or losses. When a guy gets there so often,
I just don't
that
like
says
using
something
those,
in and of itself.
I just don't like using stats as my sole basis for my analysis.
Yeah.
I have no problem. I agree with Andy, and it sounds like, Al, you. I think going 4-2 in Super Bowls is more impressive than going 4-0. Because I think the 2 losses in Super Bowls, that's accomplishments that Montana didn't do. Now, I can't argue with the flat numbers.
Right. Those years that Brady was getting there and losing,
Montana never threw an interception in the Super Bowl?
To me, that's far more impressive.
Do you know we had 127 passer rating in Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't argue with the numbers.
That's all far more impressive than just winning. To me, the not ever throwing a pick
excelling.
In 4 games, the passer, that's very impressive. But getting there is impressive, too. That is a long – so Montana had 4 great games, okay? Brady has had how many games to get to that point during the regular season to put yourself in position in the postseason to win and then get to that Super Bowl? I just think the more you go, that's really impressive.
Aren't the 2 years that Brady got there and lost more impressive than – the years that Montana didn't get there at all? Of course it is. So it's all relative.
But again, I don't like using the strict numbers because...
No, I'm just saying, but that's
like
how you
Montana,
turn it against that.
Montana had a much tougher road to get there every year than Brady has.
Right.
Because the NFC was so deep the whole time that Montana was in it. And they had, you know, Chicago and the Giants and the Redskins and, you know, so many good teams to go through. You know, the Patriots had Indianapolis for a while, and they had Pittsburgh for a while. But really, did they have them all at the same time?
Yeah.
The way, you know, look, it's hard. I mean, it's just hard to get there. I think it's ridiculously impressive that Brady could have gotten there 5 times already.
All right, thanks for the call, Al. Let's take one more call and we'll go to a break. Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, guys, what's up? You know, things have gone from icky palooky to a funeral over here with Chip Kelly going on to the NFL. I tell you, it's nice to see those new money Duck fans finally getting a taste of how important a good coach is. But anyway, just a quick couple points on this game this week. To me, you know, it's a really easy formula for me. If we get after Flacco early and often, I think that we can feel pretty good about this thing. You know, but, you know, seeing the tape from last game, you know, this guy had absolutely all the time in the world. We had absolutely no pass rush. And to me, that's the key, you know, to keeping Torrey Smith, you know, limited concern and everything else. So, to me, I'm chalking it up as an easy formula as far as what it takes to get after this team this week. It's to get Flacco on his ass early and often.
But do we have what it takes?
Yes, I do. I think Trevor Scott and Francis, you know, may add a little extra edge. But in seeing the way that Vince is playing, I just think we've got to get after him early. And I do think that we have what it takes. But, you know, the secondary has got to hold their own in coverage, at least for those first couple series. and let this defense start to pin their ears back. But, you know, that's really what I'm watching this week. And, you know, that's going to make or break our week, in my opinion.
All right, Chester, thanks for the call.
All right, guys. See ya.
All right, Chester.
You know, Chester brings up a point about getting to Flacco. And Paul, in his research, you know, doing the preview, you know, we know that they changed up their offensive line for the better. It seems to be playing better now than it ever has. I'm wondering, as good as Dante is as an offensive line coach, do you think they sit him in front of their tape at times and say, is there anything that we can pick out as far as a weakness that you can help us with, you know, help the defense?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know how much and how often because he's got his own issues to deal with. Because, you know, if you take him to do that and then you give up five sacks, well, maybe if you hadn't had me doing your work for the defense and I could have done my job.
But I'm just wondering, you know, if he does things like that.
I'm sure probably more so in the self-scouting phases, bye weeks, you know, the bye week before the playoffs, the bye week during the regular season. You know, I don't know how much you lean on him and ask him to do that this week because, as I said, he's got a pretty big job, too, to make sure Brady doesn't get killed.
All right. We got a lot of emails coming in at webradio@patriots.com. Some really interesting ones. We'll get to them right after this.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Jerod Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Jerod Mayo's sacks at Jerod Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but, like, basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank.
More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with Bill Pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of a smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos, Andy was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, CY Favre was after her, but online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter of
fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see that.
Just watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, web radio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398.
That's still my favorite
hotline. You like that?
That's still my favorite.
The unabashed. See, that's what Tao should do. Just admit it. Just admit it.
Have you seen Brandon Spikes? And you go,
yes.
Yes.
Right. The truth is always will set you free. You know?
What is Rick Pitino? If you own the truth and admit it,
it becomes part of your past.
Right. He should talk. Kyle Arrington writes in.
Problem becomes part of your future.
That indiscretion. 6 years ago.
6 years ago.
By the way, Freddie, are you going to thank our lunch?
Oh, thank you, Kevin. Once again, Interesis Networks. So nice.
The best.
To get us lunch today from Five Guys. I had their hot dog, which is underrated. A lot of people go to Five Guys for the burgers, but their hot dog is something to be right home about.
That is the prototypical Fred Kirsch comment right there. A lot of guys go to Five Guys burgers, you know, for their burgers. But I think the hot dog is special.
I just think coming out of the Brandon Spikes promo, Fred really likes hot dogs.
They slice it in half.
Oh.
Thank you, Interesis Network.
Thank you.
The guys over there.
Indeed.
Mike Lytle and Vala Asfar if you want to follow somebody in business, he's the guy to follow.
So you took the time to learn his name, but not to learn Devin McCurdy or these other names.
I know his name. Don't worry about it.
While we're thanking, real quick, I wanted to thank Paul Perillo. He was very upset because I didn't thank him the other day when I was talking about donations made to my fundraising efforts for the marathon.
I told you.
Kevin Collins.
what a jerk.
Gave. And Paul Woodall is a listener, gave. So I just want to thank everybody who's contributing to my marathon fundraising efforts.
Now you're going to actually have to do
Patriot. I have no plan not to do it.
No. They all say that when they start out.
No. I may not finish, or I may die.
He has some reservations about being able to finish.
Yeah, I plan on starting.
I feel bad for anyone that's running behind you. You have enough trouble sitting here. You're
going to
be like doing one of those
Ooda pipping. Yeah.
You're just going to poop yourself.
I have a little concern about that. Balancing. Because when I do 5 and 10 Ks, I don't eat a lot when I get up in the morning, and I just empty the system. But this is such a long, you can't be completely empty. I need some nourishment.
Right.
And I've,
can some have some
people,
pasta the night before.
Well, yeah, you're supposed to, right? Yeah. But those gels and stuff, maybe some people, those make them
do
nauseous.
Do they make sport depends? Like, depends you wear while doing sports?
It depends.
But there's also a, there's a potty at every mile.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm not a Kenyan. I'm not trying to win this thing. So right. If I have to poop, I'm going to stop and poop.
Right. And then plus anyone behind you won't be able to see the finish line because of your head. So it's really a double win.
That is. I
couldn't see the crowd.
You think there's a chance I could have the largest head of someone to finish the marathon and I could, like, get in some category or something?
Maybe. What you should really rent out your forehead for advertising.
I know. You've already used that joke. There's used it on the little comment line when you left the donation.
There's a perception, though, because you mentioned the Kenyans. And how they all, you know, they win. They have such small bodies, but it does seem like their heads are really big. Doesn't it seem that
well,
way?
Yeah, yeah.
But because their bodies are so small.
Well, yeah, maybe it's just
they're
relative.
So skinny.
It's a perception thing.
Right. Well,
yeah.
you have sloping shoulders, so that adds to the perception
to
that you
weight.
Have a big head.
I'm a little surprised I haven't lost any weight yet. Could it be the burger I just ate?
After that burger and fries you just threw down?
Could it be the red velvet cake I went home with the other night and had about three slices of? But no, seriously, I've actually gained a couple pounds in the training process
muscle.
So far. Yeah, I'm not sure that's accurate. I don't know what's going on. It could be this tart cherry juice I'm taking.
Maybe.
Is that full calories?
Anyway, I feel like Kramer.
Thanks
before
again
you
to,
move
thanks
on.
Again to Interesses and Networks for lunch. Much appreciated.
You should
because, you know,
you
God knows we don't get to eat comment. The media lunch.
Oh.
What? I didn't see it.
He said he appreciates Interesis taking care of us again because, quote from Fred Kirsch, God knows we don't get to eat the media lunch.
That's true.
By the way, was there a conversation about that, Fred, the other day?
Was there a conversation?
Did you actually go to Stacey and complain?
No.
No, he wussed out. That's how he is.
Meow.
You know what he would call himself? Hey, pussy.
And all that.
Kyle Arrington writes in. He says,
wait, what?
Before you move on to that, Freddie, Andy brought up a point that I wanted to sort of do some research on.
Email
will you hold on a second? Andy brought up something in the last segment about, you know, if Tom Brady plays really well. If Tom Brady's great in this game, no doubt the Patriots win. And I wholeheartedly agree with him. And we were saying how it's not a foregone conclusion that he plays. First, he's had some sort of grinding type games against Baltimore. Not terrible games, like the playoff game in 09, but he's had some other games where even when the Patriots have been able to win, he sort of had to grind it out. Just off the top of my head, I started thinking, when was the last time Brady had two really, really good games, Brady games, in the playoffs back-to-back? And I think you have to go all the way back to 2004 to find back-to-back games where he was Brady. You know, and I know the passer rating isn't the be-all, end-all, but for the purposes of this exercise, last year he was 137.6 against Denver.
Right.
You know, the six-touchdown game. 57.5 against Baltimore, and then 91.1 against the Giants in the Super Bowl. So, you know, great, bad, and okay, I would say. The year before against the Jets, 89.
Yeah.
You know, the year before against Baltimore, 49.1. Obviously terrible. You go back to 07, Jacksonville was 141.4 in that almost perfect game, the 26-for-28, 66-4 against San Diego, three picks, terrible. 82-5, against the Giants in the Super Bowl. And you go back to 06, it's 101-6, 57-6, 79-5.
So
you go back to 05, it's 116-4 and 74. You got to go all the way back to 04.
So Paul is predicting a stinker this week based on the numbers.
No, I'm just saying it's not the foregone conclusion that it used to be that Brady will play great.
And
we used to have that as a given going into these games.
And obviously those worse numbers were against better teams. I mean, those teams had better defenses and, you know, figured out how to, you know, keep him from torching them.
So if history is any indication, Brady's not going to be good on Sunday.
And the question is going to be, can Baltimore keep the Patriots in front of them and tackle well the way they did in Denver? Yeah. And if they are, I think it could be another one of those sort of grinding type games for Brady. I don't expect him to go out and throw three picks on Sunday. You know, I mean, I know that has happened in the playoffs. I don't expect that. I never expect a bad game from Brady. I always expect him to play at least good.
Right. Kyle Arrington writes in. He says,
"Wait, before
why
you get
is
to that,
Kyle Arrington writing in?
I don't know, but he says, did you hear Anquan Boldin saying they'll win Sunday? Did he forget that Julian Edelman won't be covering him this time?
I think the most overrated thing in all of sports is somebody saying we're going to win and then people making a big deal of
especially
it.
Especially this. Did you happen to hear like the context of this?
But anyway, you know, they take it. A guy has the audacity.
How's it going to be different? Well, we're going to win this time.
Like, what should he say? That he's not going to win? I think that's the most overblown thing in all of sports.
But, you know, there is a certain thing. Once you make that guarantee,
it doesn't matter because everybody forgets it after the game.
It's out there, you know.
Right.
They don't forget it if you do win, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, they built a career on it.
Right. Exactly.
Well, that was different because that was a one of a kind of thing. Now, like Andy says, everybody does it. No one remembers if you do or
as
you don't.
They should.
If Baltimore wins, Anquan Boldin's not going to be celebrated like Joe Montana hero because they won.
He will say after the game, "I told you. We told you we're going to win."
He may. I'm saying people aren't going to remember him having done that. It's going to get swept under the rug. It's just like if they lose, you know, I thought we were going to win. You know what I mean?
Tony in Ireland writes in relation to the Teo story, here in Ireland, we had an international soccer player claim his grandmother had died and he needed to go home from a training camp. Turns out both his grandmothers were alive and well. He just wanted to see his girlfriend. He hasn't played for Ireland since.
Ah, Manny Ramirez. Manny lost several grandparents, I believe.
I'm okay with that. At least there was a payoff there. I don't really get the payoff for anybody. Did they really think this story was going to catapult him into Heisman? I mean, they planned this. He planned this. This is how I'm going to win the Heisman, by getting sympathy and whatever. And how did he know he was going to get 7 interceptions or whatever this year? And on the other side, what was the payoff going to be? Was it going to be an extortion plot later? I don't get any of it.
But isn't there a possibility that, like we were talking about, it starts off, okay, I've made up this girlfriend. It started off as an innocent thing like that, which I'm guessing is not all that uncommon in college, you know, for whatever reason. I don't know.
Well, you're a stud star.
I don't know. But for whatever reason, maybe that's how it started off. Then all of a sudden it sort of, you know, it grows. Maybe he just wanted to, like, get people off his, I don't know, whatever the reason. And then you fast forward, now it's a couple of years in, and his grandmother died, and it's like, look at all this publicity I'm getting for this. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, this is, maybe it's an opportunity to get out from under this fake relationship that I just can't handle this anymore. You know, how can we end it?
The foundation of that with the car accident and the leukemia.
Right.
So it's not even like one day he decided, let's get one and done. Grandma died, we'll kill off the girlfriend.
That's what I'm saying. I agree with you. I don't think it was, we're going to kill off the girlfriend so I can get more pub out of it. I think it just kind of, maybe this is how I'm going to get out of this fake thing. And all of a sudden the publicity comes. And it's too late.
But
maybe, I can't say, this didn't really happen.
Break up if you want out of it.
No, but Andy, listen to this. Let's just say it was fake all along and he, for whatever reason, had this fake girlfriend. Setting it up for the accident and leukemia are perfect reasons why she's never seen him. She's never here.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about.
And then, okay, I can't keep this up anymore. I got to kill her off.
How about there's some people that claim that they saw her.
Right.
Like the guy on the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, I also don't know what they're claiming. Are they claiming they saw the girlfriend or the person who was scamming him?
Right.
Yeah. That's
right.
What I mean? Like, a lot of questions.
Like Mike and Charlotte writes in, he says, supposedly the girl is supposed to clear up details with tweets this afternoon. Well, she doesn't exist.
No, she does.
No, there's somebody.
She talked to a girl.
Right.
There's a girl that was playing his girlfriend.
Right, but it's not that woman with that name. It's another girl saying that.
Well,
she
it's the woman who was using that name.
Right.
That's what I like.
It's. I can't wait for the movie. All I can say.
And strippers.
I'm not sure I'll understand the movie when it comes out. I'll say I didn't. What happened in an hour and a half in? And this happened. Like, how did that happen? Like, I don't feel like I'm gonna understand it.
And strippers writes in, the Notre Dame football player who asked for anonymity told Pepper on Sports, "No, we all knew he had only seen her once, but when the media was saying how he went through both deaths, we knew," said the source, referring to the back-to-back deaths of Teo's grandmother and girlfriend, Lene Kakua, who allegedly died of leukemia.
Isn't that Jackie Pepper, the one who used
yes,
to work in this
it
area?
Is.
She has a website?
Well, she also works for TMZ, supposedly.
Yeah, Pepper on Sports.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
know. No, I know Jackie Pepper. I didn't realize. I'd never heard of that website until yesterday.
Strippers also tells me that Hearts Hotties is available if I want to buy it as a website.
Fred, can you take care of that? Get the boys in the terraces on it?
Let's call IT. Can we get heartshotties.com up and running?
Sure.
Sure.
We'll call it, what is it, NSW? Not safe for work. NSFW. It's going to be one of those sites.
Yeah. Why do I have a blue screen?
Let's see.
Lot of emails.
I'm glad that we were interrupting you reading the emails.
A lot of calls, a lot of emails.
I'm just
do something.
I should go to the emails
or go back to the phones.
Stick to the emails?
Yeah, this guy's only waited 11 minutes.
All right.
Sean, we'll get to you in a minute up in the Salt Lake.
One more email. Mark writes in, hey, guys, and the international BBC personality.
That's me.
You.
Andy has replied to some of my tweets. I am now worried that he finds me hot. Is Andy turning into Eric?
No, but that Michelle just tweeted me, hey, you think I'm fat or something? Because I said they're all, look at the picture.
Yeah.
They're not all fat.
I said you were going to get
She's
in trouble
not fat.
For that.
She's very
I?
Attractive. Now, she may be fake in this Mantiteo thing. I don't know, but the picture is very attractive.
She could really be a man.
I don't even know anymore,
The picture
Andy.
Is hot, I'll tell you that much.
I've seen her. She's tweeted at me.
No, you've seen the picture. You haven't
seen
her.
Yeah, I've seen the picture. You're right.
Easy, Manti.
And Brady writes in, so at the end of this past week's post-game show, Kevin and Adam briefly told a story about how Ray Lewis was giving a speech outside of your studio, which led Paul to open a door and start fist pumping. Just thought it would be funny to hear the story from Paul.
Yeah, Paul, go ahead.
What did they say? What did Zoltan Mesko say yesterday? I guess I didn't know the font for sarcasm. Yeah.
You went out
and joined the Ravens pregame huddle.
Andy and I were walking down here right in the tunnel, and Ray Lewis was getting them all whooped up into a lather, and we kind of felt like we were ready to play.
I brought that up last night. I made my first appearance on the Adam Jones show.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, good.
It was very dry.
Very dry?
Yeah.
You're being too professional?
Well, I didn't want to like treat him like I treat him here, because it would be like one of those things. What's this inside joke that nobody gets? At least here, there's
a
season.
Plus, you want to respect him a little bit.
Right. Yeah. He's trying to, carve out a little niche for himself. But I got some tweets where.
What time was that?
I couldn't even believe that was you. You were
so professional.
I wasn't on. That's what it said, like dot, dot, dot.
So he actually asked you to be on before he asked Paul?
Oh, my God.
I'm on another show.
You should play this
on the show yesterday. So he doesn't do Comcast interviews anymore.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Not this week.
I didn't know what you were talking about at first.
508-298-0398 the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Sean in Salt Lake.
That's more money.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Great.
Hey, I have two questions for you. The first one is, with the year that Welker's had, do you think we'll actually re-sign him this year?
Yes.
I believe he'll be back. I don't know how, but he'll be back. I agree with Andy.
Wait a minute. I just want to ask a question. Would you even consider it to be a decision or a possibility, the idea that you could only franchise one, Welker or Tlaib?
I would like Tlaib to be here next year, but there's no way I'd want to get rid of Welker.
Okay. I also don't think you want to pay Tlaib a franchise tender.
Yeah. And
whereas Welker, I'm okay.
I was like, just get rid of him. I mean, he may have good numbers here, but see what he does somewhere else.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. I mean, that may make you feel better for your whole spite, but if you lose the production here and don't replace it, you're the one who lost.
Yeah.
Right?
I think too often we fixate on what players do when they leave here. I know what players that have left here did when they were here.
Right.
And whether or not they replaced them. Asante Samuel was a perfect example. Everybody said, well, he went from Philadelphia and then they would just basically gave him away. That's great, except for it took a trade at the trading deadline 4 years after he left to finally get a semblance of a replacement for him with Tlaib.
And then my last question, the game this week, I don't know if I'm really wrong on this. I'm way over, super confident. As soon as
everybody is,
they beat Denver, I'm like, oh, well, as long as we don't screw up, there's a trip to the Super Bowl for us.
I don't get that.
All right.
And Vegas is that way.
I hope you're right.
And all these fans are calling in saying, I feel better about this game than I did the Houston game.
Yeah,
well, that's absurd.
I can't buy into that.
I've heard a lot of people say that, too, and, Al in New Jersey said
Where's
that earlier.
Is it just fans getting their swagger back? Like, kind of revisiting the old days when you just assumed they'd win? Is that coming back?
See, but thinking they're going to win, I think they're going to win too, and I'm pretty confident that they're going to win, but I don't know how you can be more confident in this game than you were in the Houston game.
Well, that's what I mean. Is it building?
That's the part
like
that
the old
I don't
days
get.
Where, I'm well, pretty, that's, it grew.
I'm pretty confident. I feel pretty confident the Patriots are going
to
win the game.
I think a lot of fans needed to get over that first hump of beating, you know, now – whether or not Houston is a good team at this point in the season, but the perception of beating a good team in the playoffs, they beat them, and now fans are starting to feel good about the Patriots. You know,
that's what I
starting
think
to get
is.
That.
But
confidence.
No one thought they were going to lose to Houston.
Well, I think some
Fred,
fans.
Fred, it was as universal a Patriots game as I can ever remember.
Oh yeah, but I think
last
fans
week.
Get nervous.
But I think it's snowballed.
But they weren't nervous. That's what I'm saying. They're all calling in saying it.
I know, but
we knew they weren't going to lose to Houston, and I feel even more confident. But Al just said it.
They won in convincing fashion. I think people are feeling good about it right now.
Yeah, but I don't know how you can feel better about this game than you guys were.
Apparently, do.
But you guys were all saying last week you didn't think Houston had any chance to win. Everybody, it was universal. They had no chance to win. And now we're saying we feel better about this game than the Houston game.
They have a double no chance to win.
Yeah, well, I don't get that. Like, Al says, right, you know, Al was the guy in New Jersey, right?
Right.
Yeah. He said, I just thought Wade Phillips would have some different things
right.
on defense. So that like sprung in the back of your head. But the fact that Baltimore has always been able to contain Brady better than most other teams. You know, when I say contain, he never shut him down. I'm saying contain. And, you know, instead of 43 points or whatever we get, 41 points, it was 30. That's a big difference, 11 points. Baltimore has always been able to do that. Houston couldn't do it three weeks earlier. And you feel better about this game than that game. That doesn't make any sense to me.
And don't we always talk about the upsets or usually teams that know the Patriots well?
Sure.
Division teams or Mangini teams or Brian Daboll Mangini teams. Well, Dean Pease was here. I know people didn't seem to respect him when he was here in terms of fans and didn't really feel like it was. But he has an intimate knowledge of this team and its schemes, right?
Right.
So
and he
you
plays
could
the
point
piano.
Back, and he does play the piano. But you could go back after the upset and say, well, we should have known. Pease had a wrinkle up his sleeve.
Yeah, I think,
and like I said, I think the Patriots are going to win. I'm pretty confident about it, but this is nowhere near the level of confidence I had for the Houston.
I mean, I know the Patriots scored, 29 points last game they played, or 30 points?
30.
It? Yeah, 30 points. But it was a tough to get those points. It was not easy.
It's always tough.
It wasn't easy.
These teams play tough,
it
except for the one game the Patriots
they should have had 33. Right.
That's what Bill said. I mean, basically, Bill said they've all been tough and they've all been close, except for that one that unfortunately wasn't or whatever.
This is one of my favorite Fredisms. Why exactly should the Patriots have had 33?
Because they made that field goal at the end.
Who made it?
They did.
Right.
They did.
Thanks.
Okay.
So now the other team misses a field goal. That adds 3 points to your score.
That's right.
Andy, make sure you remember that.
Those
are my favorite
Fredisms. A lot of these.
Those are my favorite Fredisms when he confuses himself.
Niels in Montreal, bonjour.
How are you doing, guys?
Good.
Muy bien, y tú?
I'm getting tired of listening to all these people who are predicting a big Patriots win. Basically, they're saying Patriots are going to win big because I want them to.
Right.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting to, Neil. You very eloquently relayed my feelings. I feel that's what everybody's saying.
Because I have a couple of questions for you, but I'll just give my own thoughts. One is we don't have anywhere near the quality of pass rush that Denver did, and Denver didn't get near Flacco. And that scares the hell out of me.
It should.
The other thing, which, and you guys have all mentioned this, but I'm just reiterating, Brady has trouble against the Ravens defense, and that will likely continue just because that's what's been happening. We'll probably get about 30 points. That's, you know, 25 to 35. That's usually what's happened. But they're going to be, as you've said, tough. It's not going to be. I watched a replay of that Houston game. The receivers were wide open. That's not going to happen against Baltimore because it hasn't happened in the past with the same people. And the other thing that really scares me is when I think of Flacco with time against the secondary, that terrifies me. And who is going to cover Bolden? Who is going to cover Torrey Smith? If you put Aqib on one of them, does that mean you've got Dennard 1-1 against Torrey Smith?
No. I would assume, we've talked about this a little bit. Do you go, Dennard 1-on-1 with Torrey Smith with extra help?
Right.
And then just let Tlaib run around with Bolden, or do you try to match up Tlaib and Torrey Smith? But there will be extra help on Torrey Smith down the field.
See, I think that's what you do. I think you put Tlaib on Bolden and have extra help on Smith.
Could be, but you still have to deal with Pitta. You still have to deal with Rice.
I know.
I mean, they...
Yeah. Yep.
I got to tell you, I would have Tlaib on Smith and give him extra help.
Now I'm concerned about Dennard. Oh, by the way, just sorry to interrupt, Neil, but quick, we were right yesterday.
Yeah.
Dennard was not injury related, and then it was a hearing.
Right.
So,
pre-trial hearing.
Nothing to worry about there.
Yep. As reported by ESPN Boston.
Wide receivers, does that mean you have Tavon Wilson on Jacoby Jones?
No. I do not let Tavon Wilson go anywhere near Jacoby Jones. Tavon Wilson might be a Bolden option as a bigger guy who can run, maybe be physical with Bolden, or a Pitta option, but no. I want no part of Wilson and Jones. Jones can make him look silly.
Because I do like the idea of Aqib on Bolden, just because Bolden is sort of similar to Andre Johnson, and I thought Tlaib did a pretty good job. He got his catches, but they were all like for 10 yards, no touchdowns. I thought he did a pretty decent job on him.
I thought it was his best game as a Patriot, and I think Bolden is a lot less of a athletic, speed-based guy. He's slow, and he fights for the ball. I think that's a fine matchup for Tlaib, because Tlaib has good size.
I wouldn't have problems with Tlaib on Bolden. I just think Tlaib's the best cover guy. I want him on Smith,
right,
and I want him to have help.
Right. Does he have the speed for Smith?
No, that's why he needs to have help.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, he's not a slug. But, I mean, I don't know that anybody, quote, has the speed for Smith.
Well, certainly Champ Bailey didn't.
Right.
No.
Anyway, that's
another brilliant coaching move there.
What I had to say. I'm certainly scared. I figure it's going to be a three-point game either way.
That's usually a good prediction in this series, or less.
Yeah, I usually stick with those.
Exactly. So, to all of you who are going to phone saying, I think the Patriots are going to win by 2 touchdowns, we know you want them to, but that doesn't mean they will.
That's right, Jarvis.
Okay,
Green.
Neil. Thanks for the call. Neil from Montreal.
Hey, quick little note from practice from Jeff Howe. During a ball control drill, Lloyd was knocked to the ground by Belichick.
I knew I loved
Maybe
Bill.
Maybe it is part of the plan. I don't know. Eric's here. Speaking of practice and watching practice and practice notes, what's going on?
Well, that was one I was going to mention. But I'm sorry.
Thanks for stealing his thunder, Paul.
Sorry.
How did it happen?
Not really.
First time
they were doing the ball security drill, you know, where they run sideline to sideline, and one guy's trying to, and they're, I guess,
secure and SWAT.
And a couple of the guys had two players trying to, you know, knock the ball away. So Belichick joined in on Lloyd, and I guess either it could have been that Lloyd stumbled on a divot in the grass or something, but
or he thought Brady was throwing him a 12-yard in cut.
Right.
He thought it was game day.
But it looked like the way that Belichick swiped at him, he hit it. He just hit him in the right way that he just knocked him over.
You know, and Bill stood over him like this.
Right. Because a lot of, you know, great receivers get knocked down by a 60-year-old portly man.
He's not portly.
Whatever. He's barrel chested.
He's a little barrel. Yeah, he's not a little hefty.
He doesn't look like, you know, this freakish 60-year-old muscular.
He's certainly not Dante.
He was an offensive lineman in college.
So? I think most offensive linemen are portly.
He's a big guy.
He's not a big guy.
He's big for his size, for his height.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes him portly.
Right. Exactly.
When you say a guy's big for his height, he means he's kind of portly.
Yeah.
No.
He's a little round, rotund. You're beyond portly.
He's got to come back to you.
No matter what, Fred. Pull out. Doesn't matter. You're going to get one
Fonzie Dennard
anyway.
Was back. Okay. And
that's what I'm hearing.
According to reports. Oh, I see what you did there. Our speculation from yesterday appears to be correct. It was law-related that he had to go back to Nebraska.
Yep. Or he went to go visit his fake girlfriend.
Field Yates reported that, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Yep. And then our buddy Jeff, who we originally said, don't worry about it. It's nothing to worry about yesterday. And we were saying, well, why didn't he just say, you know, it was public record? After that, then he came out and said, oh, yeah, he had a pretrial thing.
How?
And how?
What are we, Indians? How?
All right, good. Chandler Jones out there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Woodhead, you were asking about yesterday.
Yeah.
We could see a little bit better today because the offense was on our side of the field this time. He had a glove on the left hand, well, on both hands, but it was like a dark blue glove, and there was clearly a black either tape or some kind of wrapping around that left thumb to give it some extra protection.
Right. They might be able to save it. Don't worry.
Yeah, the Herald had a good shot yesterday, the photographer, of some sort of plastic thing on there or something.
Didn't look like a cast, but just like
no,
a heavy
No, a removable.
Of, yeah.
Almost like what a neck brace looks like, a with molded, the Velcro and the plastic, but, you know, for his thumb.
Okay. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Let's go to Tiff.
Oh, by the way, despite reports, Zoltán Mezco didn't really make a snowman on the field yesterday. That was a joke on Twitter that Nesson picked up and ran with and tried to say he actually did. He was being sarcastic. Joe Andruzzi asked how everybody made out in the snow yesterday, and Zoltán said, I got yelled at for making a snowman at practice, and Nesson, like, reported it like it was true.
Hey, Tiff.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hi, Eric.
Hi, Tiff. How you doing?
Good. Ooh. I just have a question. Do I sound like the caller that just got off the phone, doom and gloom? Do I sound like him?
A little bit.
A little down. You could bring a little more energy and excitement to the call. Bring it.
That's so annoying.
Yeah, you didn't sound any more excited there.
I didn't think the other guy sounded gloom and doom.
He annoyed me because he sounds like me.
Well, that is true. You said you weren't going to watch the Super Bowl, right? Until it was over.
I said I wasn't going to watch the Super Bowl, and at first I wasn't going to watch last week's game, and I was just watching via Twitter. And then I asked strippers if I should watch it now because, you know, if we're losing, you know, I don't want to watch. And so he was telling me I should watch something on IFC instead, watch the game. So I ended up watching it, and I was very happy, obviously. But I wanted to say one thing. Is it me, or did the officiating last week suck, like, all around, all over the NFL?
Paul, you want to handle that one?
I thought the Denver-Baltimore game and the Patriots-Houston game were poorly officiated. I do agree with Tiff, yes. Is that good, Andy? I left all my details out. I thought they were poorly officiated games.
Okay, so then that wasn't just me. A second thing, I knew that the Ravens would beat the Broncos because I wasn't convinced that the Broncos were a good team just because of the. I know you guys say it doesn't matter. You play who you're on schedule with, but I just thought the schedule was just, playing the Chiefs twice, playing the Oakland Raiders twice. I mean,
plus you heard my pick last week, Tiff, right? Obviously.
No.
Well done, Tom. Wow.
Yes.
Oh.
We actually all picked the Ravens to cover.
Okay.
Eric was the only one that picked them to win outright.
Because I didn't listen because you guys scare me sometimes. I don't need any more influence on my nerves, I'm telling you.
Wait, are you watching the game this week?
Better be.
I probably will watch Twitter.
Oh,
what do you mean? Watch the game.
Tiff, why be a fan? I mean, it sounds like it's really causing you a lot of stress in your life. So maybe you should take something up, like knitting.
What last year did to me, and then 2007.
Right.
And then we lost to the Jets.
Well, maybe you should become a Jaguars fan. Then you don't have to worry about winning every year.
It was worse. It was worse for you than those of us who actually work here. You're right.
To be honest, I'm Belichick is my favorite Patriot, so I have to be a Patriot fan.
All right, well, and Bill, we trust Tiff.
Yeah, but not Tiff.
Doesn't sound like you do.
And Bill, we trust on DVR with Tiff.
And then
only if I know we won.
And then this is what I do. After the game looks like we're going to win, I start watching from the beginning on the DVR.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
Yeah, that's bad.
Don't take this the wrong way, Tiff, but you're out of your mind.
I know. I agree. I'm like Woody Allen neurotic. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm not Jewish, and I'm not a man.
Yeah.
But just one last thing. Do you guys, what do you think we should watch out for as far as the game goes? I mean, what do you think Bill needs to pay attention to?
The long ball.
From the defense side, and then, and protecting Brady. I mean, what do you?
Yeah, they can't let Flacco complete those deep passes. Like he did in week three, like he did last week against Denver. The one thing that might help them, though, is the weather. It's supposed to be really, really windy.
Oh, really?
Saturday and Sunday.
Windy.
So that could potentially, alter Flacco's
balls.
Accuracy on the deep ball.
Deep balls.
Yeah. Okay. But Flacco balls throws deep. But you know what? He throws into, like, triple coverage a lot.
Oh,
like,
he has no fear. He has, but he doesn't throw a lot of picks.
No, he doesn't.
So
he plays the odds, I think.
Well, he's got confidence in his arm and confidence in his receivers, and
they
when he played the Patriots, there was no chance.
But if there's a lot of wins, though, like Eric says, that I agree with that.
Especially the way he throws it, he likes to loft it.
When you look at the better quarterbacks in the league,
they all have over 60% completion percentage. I think his is 52.
He's right at in the playoffs.
No. Oh, yeah,
he's right at 60. He's like 59.8 or something for the season.
Okay. Okay. Eric, who do you have winning?
Oh, you'll have to listen to the picks segment. We'll do that in about 20 minutes.
Is Kevin Collins going to give his picks too?
We'll let him.
No, we don't let him talk.
All right.
Please let him get
I also picked the Ravens to win outright last week.
Of course you did.
I have it
on tape.
Yeah, send it out. I look forward to it.
Thanks, Tiff.
And I'm going to get excited about it, even if you won't.
And I'm not going to wait till it's all over and then watch it at the beginning.
Melvin's in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
What's up? How's everybody doing?
Great.
Doing all right.
Well, just like you said, Paul, not so long ago, I'm not overly confident for sure because the Ravens defense, they played tough last week. And for some odd reason, they always seem to hold the Patriots to low to mid-20s. So,
they didn't in week three.
And we still lost. We scored 31 and we lost. Yeah.
Scored 30.
So, we scored 30. Well, yeah. Well, it's a loss, so it doesn't matter.
Fred, it wasn't.
Fred thinks it was a win.
Fred thinks they won.
They won that game.
Fred thinks they won 33-29.
Right.
33-28.
No, 33-31.
You can't take three away.
We should have.
Shush.
I wanted to see what you all thought about the last game where basically Tom Brady was – I thought he threw a lot of passes real low in the first half. So I know everybody was overly impressive with his performance, which he did throw a lot of nice passes, more the fades and stuff like that he normally doesn't complete. But, you know, the pass to Lord, I remember a deep out over there to the – side for maybe Welker. Well, what do y'all think about his performance so far and like with the throwing a lot of the low passes that I saw? Do y'all remember that?
I mean, I don't remember him being overly inaccurate in the Houston game we're talking about.
The Houston game. I thought he just threw a lot of passes that he normally completes. I just thought he threw them real low.
I actually
thought
he got victimized by a couple of drops in that game. I thought he played probably a little bit better than his. I thought the two long balls, one to Welker and one to Vereen, I thought were perfectly thrown. And I know you mentioned those, Melvin, about the passes that he doesn't normally complete, those deep fades. But, he had a couple of low ones. I know he short-hopped Lloyd on one, but...
I blame Lloyd.
I always blame Lloyd on those. Yeah, you know, if he was short and hopping Welker or Hernandez, then right. I would say, oh, Brady's a little off. But if it always seems to be Lloyd that he's short-hopping.
Right.
And I think Lloyd was a little off.
Well, I know he... Nah, never mind.
How could you tell?
All right, Melvin, thanks for the call.
No,
have a good game.
Thanks, Melvin.
A random tweet I just wanted to read that I feel like someday I'll be sending. You know Tony Pauline, or Pauline? He's a draft guy?
Yes.
You don't?
No.
Some people do. Effective immediately, I will no longer be working with SI.com.
Oh. Announces his own termination.
I feel like I'll be sending one of those out someday.
Or I will. Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
I'm ready to rock, baby.
You're more confident this week than you were last?
You bet, babe.
Then you're a super fan, just like the rest of us.
Why is that, Christian?
I just don't think Baltimore's going to have enough gas left in the tank.
It's not a bad argument.
No, that's a solid argument.
I really do. I mean, I whatever they have in the water down there aside, I love it.
Clean living, Christian. Just clean living.
That's all. It's just protein shakes and strength at the NFL level.
Right. Oh, it's like Hulk Hogan saying their prayers, taking their vitamins, you know?
Yeah, and then 20 years later, they all die from juice. But
no,
yeah,
it's that CET.
Obviously, Gronkowski not being in there gives the Ravens one less thing to worry about.
Nah, Fred's not worried about that. He doesn't think it matters.
Well, it does matter, it's not going to cost them the game.
What does Fred not think matters? Yeah, whether or not field goals are good or not?
Being out there.
Oh.
It irrelevant.
It does, but it's not going to be easy, and I think it's going to be a close game, and then I think the Pats will get a touchdown late to cover the spread, and I foresee sort of like a 27-17 type game as a final.
Oh. So you think of it much the way that a lot of other people do, but not necessarily more confident than last week when you thought they were going to blow them out.
Yeah, no, I was just being a little, facetious.
You're being a little Christian-like. Yeah. I see it.
That's how Andy gets me.
He does. He does it to all of us. He does it to all of us, Christian.
It's infectious. You know what I mean? If you had him and Ray Lewis on the field at the same time, the earth might explode. All right.
Man, you got a big head.
It doesn't matter, Christian.
All right. Thanks, Christian.
Eric, you missed earlier a man offered up his wife to me.
I beg your pardon?
Essentially.
I asked the guy if he had a trophy wife, and he basically said yes.
And he wants me to start a thing with Hearts Hotties where men can send in their girlfriend's wives and I can rate them. And
what?
Men
that's can send rate. In their rate. Girlfriend's wives?
Rate.
That's
rate.
Yes.
And it wouldn't be the other thing because they're sending them in. They're offering them up.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Did he send a photo?
Yeah, but Fred hasn't showed it to me
Why
yet.
Why can't Did we have scals, it? Gals?
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's very good, Fred.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Because they don't want that.
Because it'd be more like scals, pals.
And plus, it would be child pornography.
Forget it.
It always hurts more coming from me. The look I just got.
Scals, pals? Is that what you said?
John in Winnipeg, I saw a tweet from Artrell Hawkins this past weekend.
Yeah.
That said Belichick had four letters painted on the wall in the defensive meeting room as a reminder for the safeties. It was GTFB, as in get the F back. I'm not sure if you guys have ever had enough access to verify this, but if this is true, it makes me feel better for this week. Well, I don't think they're going to need the letters. It may be true, but...
I'm sure it's true.
I don't mean... Yes, I've heard it before, but I don't mean to be negative, but if Artrell Hawkins read it on the wall, it's been there for how long? Did they erase it in, like, week 3, 4, 5 when they were giving up these Tavon Wilson bombs?
Well, the other thing is...
So anytime, why does that make you feel any better?
Do we really think the first time they played the Ravens this year, for as an example, Bill said, don't worry about letting Torrey Smith get behind
right.
you. It's only this time.
Right.
Oh, now this time we're going to make sure we. I would be stunned if Joe Flacco completes, you know, 4 or 5 long balls in this game, because I agree with the way Eric said it. It's going to be the number one priority, and generally, Bill does a pretty good job of neutralizing the number one priority. But
plus, McCourty's deep instead of covering him.
Let's not get into the
I didn't know how to ask him that. I wanted to ask.
Now
him
we
that,
know
like,
they're going to throw deep.
Are things better because you're not covering Torrey Smith? Now you're playing like. I feel like that's a
that's
big difference.
That's an Andy Hart question. I wonder. I can't
I
believe you didn't ask it.
I didn't ask it. I didn't know how to get it there.
Jay writes in, I think one of the really underrated aspects of the game on Sunday will be the type of game Jim Caldwell calls
yep.
against the Patriots. He has limited experience as an offensive coordinator. He'll be facing a Belichick defense for the first time as such. I thought he made some terrible calls that he got away with in Denver. In particular, on two occasions, he had Flacco roll left and throw across his body, one in overtime, that would have been intercepted, but the defensive back landed out of bounds.
I think Caldwell's an interesting thing. I talked to you guys about this earlier, that like you don't really know what he is. He's so inexperienced as a play caller,
a little bit
and
of an X
coordinator.
Factor.
He's an X factor. Now, that can go one or two ways. He
sure.
could choke in the,
well, that's what
the
makes
moment,
an X factor.
Or he could, you know, catch you off guard, and all of a sudden he unveils the wild raven or something you've not prepared for, and they win.
Yeah, you know, that's
Ray Lewis playing offense.
Right, you never know. He's the wild raven. Yeah, see that place in Foxborough that changed their name this week? The Ravens Nest or something. It's a bar. So they like hung a Patriots Nest
oh, yeah?
for the week or whatever.
Someone writes in who doesn't want me to use his name.
Joe.
But
he says
hey,
had,
Chuck.
He had a friend who was Teo'd a few years back. I had a roommate who went through almost the same experience Teo did 6 or 7 years back. He met a gal online who he never met in person, but they had a lengthy relationship, lots of phone calls. I recall one bill being $1,400 when he picked the wrong phone plan, and she wanted them to keep their phones on all night so they could hear each other sleep. Let that sink in. She had several reasons why she could never leave the house and meet him, but she sent expensive gifts to the house all the time. If they talked about cooking, cookbooks and cooking sets arrived at the house, talked about a TV show, the DVDs of the entire series arrived. Packages came to the house at least once a week. Eventually, she also passed away mysteriously, finally succumbing to one of the wildly unbelievable storylines that made up her history. There are so many facets to the story, but I don't want to put too much detail out there since my buddy is a Pats fan in New England, but this Teo story isn't that uncommon.
Wait a minute.
But this
gifts were
actually
coming to the guy?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like a bad gig.
And it doesn't sound like...
and then she just passes it, goes away. And...
But wait a minute, so she didn't really die?
I don't know.
I don't know what the connection to Teo is.
Well,
the Teo thing is a hoax.
No, but he was taken by
it was
a girl
an online,
that he...
But, an online
but was
that...
he taken, is my question.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think he was
like
taken.
You,
he
no,
was getting
I,
gifts.
Well, that's exactly my point.
I need one of them relationships.
I mean, either Teo was victimized by a hoax, or he's in on the hoax. This seems like it was real, unless she's not really dead. Like, this seems like it was real. Like, he just had a relationship online with this woman who, like you said, he got stuff from it.
And it's not like she...
Like, he wasn't victimized by
the phone
her.
Bill. He had to pay a big phone bill, but that it's not like that money went to her. Like, she was scamming
right.
him somehow for money.
And then
right.
all of a sudden, she mysteriously
that's what
passed
I thought.
Away. Well, you know, was that who made up that story? Was that
who cares? I mean, I guess they really are in love with this person, but
yeah, I don't.
I mean, we all know stuff happens. People get duped all the time. There's still people thinking the Ethiopian king has left them all this money, and all they have to go is to, you know, have wire $100. You know, people are getting duped online every day,
right?
You know. But
and I also
this is like a 3-year period.
There's also you can buy. I saw things tweeted out on Facebook. There's companies that will like make up ex-girlfriends for you and things you can use on Facebook somehow. I've never done Facebook, so I don't know why you would do that. But you can make up girlfriends that they produce. It's like $20 or something. So there's a lot of crap out there.
Tony,
do you have something wrong with your eye, Fred?
No, my eyelash. Tony in Toronto. I have an X and O question for you. Like the 07 Patriots, the Ravens' offense is predicated on Flacco having time to throw the ball deep. The main difference from the 07 Patriots being, according to some, Flacco's inability to be accurate on the intermediate passes. So while the Patriots' pass rush may not be great, it is possible to commit six or more rushers to eliminate the amount of time Flacco has to throw it up and leave three or four back to defend deep and one guy always on Rice, and take your chances on him hitting the intermediate passes. Essentially, on any given play, the Ravens can have five eligible receivers, so strictly based on numbers, would this scheme be effective?
No. You're just leaving the middle of the field wide open?
I think it would be scary to do that.
You would get absolutely bleeped.
Quarterbacks recognize that, and they throw right over the pressure.
Right.
And this defense has been victimized over the middle, the soft middle.
But even
especially by good tight ends.
There's
like,
a couple of things that...
Like Pitta.
You know,
Pitiful.
That's a good point. The Ray Rice portion of that's a good point, but people don't take into consideration what happens when you blitz and don't get there.
Right.
It's like it's never a consideration. And, you know, we talked about this yesterday with Felger and Maz.
We did?
Me, Felger and Maz.
Did you guys meet online?
Jeez.
Felger and Maz don't exist.
You say this all the time.
I wish.
Andy. You know, how many times do you see Joe Flacco sit there and he knows it's coming, but he knows he has a one-on-one matchup on the outside
right.
and he just throws it up? Like, you don't need, you know, there's a perception out there that in order to throw the ball deep, you need like 6 seconds. You don't. You know where where your guy is going.
There's also a perception that he's like a caveman.
Right.
I throw deep. Do nothing out.
I throw
deep. And that's
deep,
because of your guy. When we were talking to Felger and Maz yesterday. Felger's an idiot and promotes that perception that Flacco is just a useless heap of crap out there.
But if you know that you have one-on-one coverage on the outside and you know a blitz is coming, you know, I'm taking three or four steps and I'm just letting it fly.
Right.
And I'm going to see if my guy – I don't know if he's open, but I'm going to see if my guy can make a play. If I have Torrey Smith and Anquan Boldin, I'm going to bet on them if I'm Joe Flacco.
And if you're long, you're not wrong.
Right.
Just be long.
And that's where McCourty again comes in, though.
But
we've seen him make reads and come across the field nicely a little bit here. If he does that, he's going to have a chance to make plays.
But how about the back shoulder play that Smith made on Champ Bailey for the second touchdown?
Oh, that was how could you defend that any better? Yeah,
right. But what is that? You don't need 20 seconds to throw
no.
that pass.
No,
you throw it there. You know I'm one on one on the outside. Let me make a play, Joe. And he's gonna give his receivers opportunities because they make them so many
right.
times.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's the other thing is everybody like. Oh, his completion percentage is low. Well, when you throw the ball down the field, your completion percentage is going to
be
low.
See that graphic?
And when you have confidence
yesterday?
In your receivers to let them make plays, sometimes making a play is just an incomplete pass. Okay,
right.
the corner had position, so I just bat it
right.
down.
As long as they don't intercept.
So,
yeah.
you know, when you look at it, and he has 22-10, I think, touchdowns to interceptions, he doesn't turn the ball over. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And he has lower percentage throws that he's doing. So
right.
that's even more impressive.
Right.
Bill went overboard yesterday talking about it. His ability to make big plays and not turn the ball over and score points. I mean, he does all of those things well.
Yeah, there was a graphic on ESPN yesterday, and I forget exactly the criteria, but I think it was the last 2 years. He's either attempted or completed like 25 more passes that traveled 20 or more yards than anybody else in the league. So that's why you complete 59% instead of 65%.
Right.
There was, can I just, one other point, ESPN had another graphic that I thought was pretty interesting too, because a lot is made of New England's up-tempo, no-huddle offense, and they had a graphic with the fastest teams in between plays offensively.
Yeah, it was an interesting chart.
Yeah, New England was,
they were one.
They were one with like 20, it was like 24.9 seconds, let's say.
Right.
The Ravens were third. With only a second and a half slower than that.
and I think it was like the Saints, and I don't know if it was the Eagles or some other team. They only had four teams up there, but it was New England 1, Baltimore 3. Baltimore doesn't really get talked about as much about that. And then against, you know, a defense that can be vulnerable like this one often is, that's something to keep in mind.
Most interesting Patriots fan in the world, James Pettigrew, writes in, says, "What's up, PFW crew? How's life? I'm currently stuck in Zurich trying to find a more reliable country to launder my money. But I've been listening diligently, and it's nice to hear so many first-time, long-time callers mixing it up. Very entertaining. I, as always, totally agree with everyone on nothing. I'm relatively confident about the matchup with the Ravens, the tactic being keeping all the receivers in front of us, forcing Flacco to put together long drives. I think field position is going to be very important. Give Joe as much field as possible to hang himself. On another tangent, what are your thoughts on Ninkovich's contract? What he's worth, and will we pay? Of course not. Bring on the 49ers, if only to hear Fred refer to Copper Knocker incorrectly for 2 weeks. All right, keep up. Love you, and we'll be back in the U.S. soon. I can't believe you've even made me miss Felger. I leave for a few weeks, and D.A. has a national show. The mothership must be on crack.
Ninkovich is not a free agent. Didn't he just sign an extension?
Yeah, I think so.
2 year extension, 3 year
thought
extension.
So. Yeah.
I don't think he's going. They have a good player at a palatable price.
It's one of those home run Patriots contracts.
Yeah.
They saw a guy that was playing a significant role that was a little bit undervalued, and
so they
locked him up
money.
Because he had never gotten any money.
Yeah.
He was willing to take it.
Good, and they were right.
Good for both sides.
They were right, though.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they've done that with guys they weren't right on.
Yeah.
And I was wrong on him. He's a starting caliber player on a defense. He makes plays.
Brad has it all figured out. He says Tlaib on Smith with help over the top, Dennard on Bolden, Wilson on the tight ends, shadow Ray Rice out of the backfield, and blitz Flacco. So that's his recipe for success.
Wilson on Dennis Pitta?
Yeah.
On the tight ends, he said.
I don't know if I like that matchup.
I'm not sure I like the Dennard Bolden matchup with regularity.
They are two physical players, though. That makes sense.
Yeah, but he's
a
wee little physical player.
Well, how big's Bolden? 6'1"?
Bigger than that.
Bolden's a moose.
Dennard is stocky. Bolden, big.
I guess the mayor of Boston, Tom Menino's been at it again.
Yes.
He was trying to brag about the Patriots in a televised phone call to the Baltimore mayor, Stephanie Rawlings Blake, on Wednesday. But once again, Menino struggled to get pronunciations correct. Menino wearing a Vince Wilfork jersey. So he's wearing the jersey with the name on it.
Yeah, but he plays for the name on the front.
Referred to the defensive lineman as Wilcock before being corrected by a reporter.
I thought it was caught.
Then he mispronounced Ron Gronkowski's nickname as Gonk.
I heard the clip on the radio
too. I did too, and I didn't think it said cock, and I, you know, would have loved to have jumped down.
Wasn't Wilfork, right?
No, it was definitely not Wilfork.
It was either Wilcott with a T or...
Okay.
And
our
I didn't know...
should make cocks bigger.
The thing I thought was weird, who was the woman who chimed in and gave him the right answer?
I assume some sort of aide.
Where's this person been for about a decade?
Thought the same thing. Why is he never ever getting corrected before?
Like, you hear this very loud, Wilfork, like, loud and clear voice chimes in with the right answer. Although a little awkward.
Vinterini.
Michelle writes in, I don't feel better about this game than the Houston game.
Mumbles?
Seems everyone is talking about getting pressure on Flacco. I think protecting Brady is going to be much more important. I want to see Logan mixing it up with Suggs and Nada. Bring it, Baltimore. I'm not fat nor fake. Yay for me, Michelle in Stockholm.
Well, send some more
photos.
Good
job, then. Michelle.
Send your resume in to Hearts Hotties. We'll see what we can do.
There, I'm not fat nor fake. Like, you need to substantiate that.
By the way, if by fake it's fake breasts, we're okay with that. You just have to exist.
Okay.
Hearts Hotties takes all comers.
Right.
Fred in Copenhagen. Great work.
Wonderful.
In all honesty, I am nervous about this game, mostly due to the fact that the Ravens' offense seems prolific at the moment. For me, the key is stopping the deep ball. Not that the Patriots shouldn't pay attention to Ray Rice, but I feel more confident that they can stop him without having to implement something specific.
Yeah, when's he ever killed them in the postseason?
Yeah. For me, the main focus should be on the Ravens' passing attack. Your thoughts? And by the way, have you seen the NFL lip-reading video? Yeah,
yes.
We did see it.
Yeah,
very
phenomenal.
Funny. Very, very
good.
You got a peanut?
I like the Jim Harbaugh one the best.
Yeah. I want cake, and I want it now!
I want it now!
Yeah, that is... I don't know if you were in here. I would like to see them do a Belichick one. Just take Belichick stuff and do an all Bill Belichick. Be phenomenal.
Brian in Essex, Vermont, we're talking about the Montana Brady debate. He says Montana also enjoyed no hard salary cap. He also only had to deal with the early periods of free agency. The so-called Plan B free agency started in 89 after eight players sued in 92, blah, blah, blah. Still, he'd won at least two Super Bowls before the Plan B free agency was put in place. The comparison between Brady and Montana is quite difficult, given it was much easier for the 49ers to maintain talent around Montana, whereas the Patriots have to constantly be aware of where they are with the cap to allow themselves flexibility throughout the season, as well as dealing with free agency. Of course, every team has to deal with that now. However, the cap and free agency makes it more challenging for teams to consistently maintain the same level of talent year in and year out, which is why it's so impressive what the Patriots have done the last 12 years.
Go ahead, Paul.
I've done this. I'll just say this.
I've done this, but then he can't just leave it at that and keep.
I'm going to
cap is crap.
I'm going to leave the whole thing alone, but just say that three out of the final four teams are back
because they do it better.
It's so hard to do it, but three of the final four teams were repeaters.
First time since 92, 93.
Yeah. It's a salary cap era now. It's easier to do.
Ricky from Mobile, I just want
to
say...
But I have nothing to say.
I just want to say Fred is right. We did beat the Ravens early in the season. The refs stole the game from us, so the Patriots are going to us that to go out something and beat
the Ravens
again.
It's very hard to beat a team twice.
Who's this, Joe Flacco? Unga Booga, I throw deep.
So, he's right.
Yep, he's right.
He may not have said it correctly, but he's right.
These are your people, Fred.
Not have been able to articulate.
Well, the end result
the
is the same too. The Ravens are coming to New England, so even if they had won in Week 3, on the actual score sheet, if they had actually won, New England would still have had
the
advantage over Baltimore.
They did win in Week 3. Fred doesn't understand. What are you talking about?
Eric was there. He know they won.
He know they won.
You know, these are your people.
He know they
That's
won.
Why they're your people.
Felix writes in, real quick game prediction, 27-17 Patriots. More importantly, if I find out that A.J. McCarron's girlfriend is fake, too, I'm giving up on life. Well, we saw her. She's real.
And you saw, you saw a woman. You don't know if it was really
A.J. McCarron saw a woman, at least in pictures. All you saw her on was video.
Bill Enright from footballnation.com.
Bill. How are you?
He writes,
Bill
A. He says, I hate to admit it, but Kevin did in fact pick the Ravens to beat the Broncos outright, said it on air. I laughed and said, you're ridiculous. He played that clip about five times on
Not
our
surprised.
Tuesday show. Even worse, his picks went 4-0 and mine went 2-2.
Did he come in with a cast on his arm from breaking it, patting himself on the back?
Right.
Leaping Lenny Poffo over there.
I think it's the first time he's ever been right in his life.
Yep. The Seahawks 2 years ago.
He's got them written down.
What do Andy and Kevin have in common?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Matt writes in, he's in Pennsylvania, but he's a meteorologist by trade, he says, and a big Patriots fan. I usually take a look at the weather a week in advance to see whether the Patriots might get any advantage in their games. As we get closer to Sunday, it is evident that it will be rather windy during the duration of the game. Winds will be screaming out of the west-northwest with sustained winds of 25 miles an hour, ooh, gusts to 30 to 40, ooh, which will make field goal
make
kicking as useless as waiting for Manti Te'o's girlfriend to make an appearance.
Real, I tell Gostkowski.
I would imagine the deep ball will not work for Flacco one bit, and both quarterbacks will have to resort to short, quick passes, which would undoubtedly be an advantage for the Patriots.
Yes.
Also, the running game will probably prove to be an important part of the game as well, and run scheming will be crucial. Advantage Patriots once again. However, I still believe the game will be close, but the Patriots prove victorious once again in windblown Foxborough, 28-21.
Do we now have our own PFW personal meteorologist?
I guess so.
I mean, I would be very excited if this became a regular part of the show. You know, it obviously won't matter in the Super Bowl if they go there, so I'm talking about next season.
If it's that windy, I'm concerned for the Patriots passing game, too.
Absolutely.
If it's to the extent with 30 to 40 mile an hour winds.
Yeah. I mean, you're not Patriots offense is a meteorologist,
but no. I am. That's why I said if that ends up being the case, I think that will affect the.
Absolutely.
I think that affects Brady too.
Yeah.
Oh, I do too. And I don't necessarily agree with advantage Ravens.
Yeah, because
Ray
Rice
game.
Is a pretty good running back. You know.
I mean, when's he killed us in the postseason?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen again.
What are the chances he goes like 80 yards on one play?
Wait, he's run for.
Glenn writes in. He says, "Hello, I'm Aqib Talib's agent. Please stop talking about him." Thank you. And then he says, Andy Fart.
So I don't think that really is a key.
Probably not.
I don't think so. Manti Te'o, though, was saying, hey, that guy's a good agent. Should I get him?
I don't think so. But why would Aqib Talib's agent not want us talking about him?
I don't know.
We've been playing him up, right?
Yeah.
Some. I wouldn't say we've been playing him up as much as everybody. I mean, most people just said he's great, even though he wasn't playing great.
Mo in Vermont writes in, I think we need Cunningham, Beckett, and Francis to step up because Jones and Scott are too small to get after this line. If we put speed guys in there rushing, I think we'll see them on their butts more often than not.
Did he say Cunningham's a speed guy?
No.
No, if we put Cunningham. Oh, wait a minute. He did.
Yeah, he did.
No, he says that Jones and Scott are too small. So
right.
He thinks that Beckett, Cunningham, and Francis need to step up.
Beckett? I didn't even hear that the first time.
Yeah. Well, that's what I started laughing at.
It's the right. First name he mentioned.
Right.
Beckett doesn't even know how to put his pads on at this point.
He's not going to be active.
They can work, but I think we need to wear them down with the big guys first in order to get them moving a bit slower. Then
Beckett's
we'll be
not
able
big.
To
He's
get
260.
Him with the speed rushers.
He admitted to me that he needs to get bigger and stronger.
Other than that, I like Hightower on the blitz in this one, and I think he can get a lineman working hard. Thanks, and go get him. Yeah, Beckett's not big.
And he doesn't play.
Yeah.
Beckett has decent size, but he doesn't
he's
play.
Tall.
Well, yeah, I can't argue
actually,
that.
I believe he's either the exact same weight or lighter than Chandler Jones. And isn't his
I'll
argument
right
that
now.
Chandler Jones isn't
right.
Chandler, big enough?
Chandler Jones is listed at 6'5", 260. And Beckett is 6'4", 265.
Yeah. So he's
officially
a little thicker.
Listed.
Decent size.
But no, they're both decent size.
No, I know, but you're not. He's not going to play. And if he does play, I'd be stunned.
I'll be honest. That is my biggest fear of this game is relying on the pass rush and those guys in particular as part of the pass rush. I think that's a problem. I feel much better about the pass
I'm not worried about it
coverage.
Anymore. It's going to be 30, 40 mile an hour winds, according to our meteorologist.
Let him run the ball. It's going to be a quick game then.
Was that Paul in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
If that happens, I don't see Flacco being effective at all.
No.
Kyle says, we've got this Ravens defense. It's tired, and Ray Lewis is all effed up. I'm going Patriots 38-10.
Wow.
Nobody gave us a chance. We still have to play the game, Sal.
No weapons. John writes in, I'm surprised that more hasn't been made about Dable returning since he left on shaky terms after the 06 season. Is this the sign of a possible thaw in the Belichick-Mangini feud? Does one have anything to do with the other?
Well, there were people that believed they didn't like Mangini poaching the staff.
Yes, I think that's what he's alluding to. And
but
I think he's
do you,
probably got
but
something.
But do you blame
the poacher or the poachee?
Yeah.
Seems like they blame the poacher, not the poachee.
Yeah,
if you're asking me, I don't really understand it in the first place. But if you are affected, but if you don't like that, then it would be both.
It's like if your best friend bangs your wife, who are you mad at?
Both.
Right, but who more? Who would you bring back more?
I would have nothing to do with either one of them. If I was really that mad.
I agree. It was a bad example.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
I thought it was good when it came out, but
I don't want anything to do with my best friend, and I'm certainly not taking my wife back.
All right. It didn't work.
Every once in a while, he stuns me.
Mike Sleep inside Florida writes
a lot of picks.
Yesterday, Paul thought that our D was playing better than the sum of its parts. I disagree. 64% of their players were first or second round picks, and if it is true that they have more talent than their production, would that not point to coaching as the issue? How many years have we been in the bottom five in pass D? Really? I don't know. But as you know, pass D is a function of 11 players, not just the back four or five. Then he lists all the guys.
Okay, let me just say this too. I don't think the Patriots' defense, period, is better than the sum of its parts. I think it's playing right now better than the sum of its parts. I think the last couple of weeks, certainly last Sunday, I thought they played very well. Right now, the Patriots defense is playing pretty well. Now, for the season, they're 29th in pass defense, and they went from something like 17th to 9th in points allowed on one shutout the last game of the year. What? Oh.
Him.
But, you know, Jermaine Cunningham's a second-round pick. Patrick Chung's a second-round pick. They're not very good. They're okay players. They're not – just because you get picked there doesn't mean you're a great player. Do you agree with that?
Right.
So, I mean, just 64%, you know, just to use his number there, of the first or second round picks, that to me doesn't tell me that they're talented.
Jamarcus Russell, is he a great player because he was picked high? No.
Mark and Cheddar, we'll finish up this segment with a over-under, and then we're going to get to the picks. Hey, guys, and Manti Te'o, I mean Eric.
That's just poor to Eric.
Over-under for the Patriots-Ravens game. Brady passing yards, 312.3.
Under.
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 60-mile-an-hour winds.
Because of the weather.
Every time I say it, I'm going to increase it a little.
Flacco passing yards, 294.9.
Under. Did you hear? Tornado.
Over.
Over.
Okay.
And the silence.
Apparently wind, not an issue for Flacco.
Paul just drops a bomb.
Yeah. No, I think they're going to be behind, and they're going to have to throw a lot.
Patriots.
But he's completing them if they're getting 300 yards.
Patriots points, 25.35.
So you're just going to, you're totally all in on the wind, huh?
I have to trust our own personal meteorologist.
Patriots points, 25.35.
Over.
Over.
Okay, over, but not by much.
Who's this new blonde on SportsCenter?
Ravens
points.
She looks
like the girl that used to work at...
somewhere around here.
Nesson, right?
Yes.
Is she? And she looks like her.
She can be on Hart's Hotties.
Ravens points, 24.44.
Over.
Over, but...
24.44,
yeah.
Under.
Patriots by secondary interceptions, 1.5.
Under.
Over.
Lloyd under, receiving yards, 40.21.
Under.
Yeah, that's under. Under.
Time until Manti Te'o is arrested on suspicion of murdering his girlfriend, 31.59 days.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Oh, man.
That he went there and murdered her?
That she existed in murder, and this is all a cover-up for a murder.
Oh, my God. This is getting way too ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't think that could happen.
It's great, Mark. That's excellent. Exists. Excellent stuff right there. That's the stuff that keeps Andy and Paul talking in my office for hours about nothing.
Number it's of not times great, Kevin Collins has gloated about his pick in the Ravens-Broncos
over.
Game, 12.72.
What was that?
Over.
I missed it.
Number
over.
Of times Kevin has gloated about
he
his
He played it half a dozen times on Bill Engelwright's show.
Right. Enright.
Enright. Who's Bill Engelwright?
Bill Engvold?
Engvold.
The comedian.
Here's
all
your
right.
sign. Sorry, Bill.
This week's PFW in Progress picks are sponsored by Subway Restaurant. Subway, the official training restaurant of the New England Patriots.
Notice they didn't ask you to say Fred Kirsch, because that would not be a good promo.
Subway, eat the food.
Big week. Big week.
For Andy Hart.
For E-Scal. Scal's pals. 4-0.
Hey.
What?
Wait,
what?
There's no saying that. I mean, what is the
you said it,
implication
Fred,
with Scal's pals?
Scal's gals.
And it's Paul like, had to, yeah, Paul Scal's had to chime in with Scal's pals.
Gals is like
old school.
Yeah.
Yes.
Old women. You don't want old
women.
Old women.
Old school,
I'm sure
not
you're
old
big
women.
With old women. You want young women.
Yeah, you want girls my age and younger.
There's a difference between old school and old. And, you know,
you don't call a hot girl a gal.
No, you don't.
That'd be a Frank Totic.
But it rhymes.
A cougar.
I mean, it rhymes.
A long time ago.
And there's nothing to say a Scal's
you might
pals
call a cougar
can't be.
A gal.
I mean, yes, if I said is. Hugh Hefner's pals, everyone would think, all the girls. You got to sell
yeah.
it. You got to carry the pals and don't make people think it has any.
The gals is
you've got a commitment.
You know, yeah. you're walking down the Cranston
yeah.
Mall arm in
you've
arm.
You got
a
responsibility.
Right?
Scal's pals.
The Cranston Mall.
Yeah.
That's a good date spot, the Cranston Mall.
So, Freddie,
is this a Ty Law's bouncy thing yet?
Have I been there?
Yeah.
No.
I think I was thinking of taking the kids. Is that a kid's
if I had
thing?
Kids.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
No, but
yeah.
I mean little kids.
Yeah. It's not just the bouncy thing.
Well, have you ever seen a bouncy house go wrong when there's like one little kid that falls down and is getting popped around like popcorn?
It's a trampoline place, though.
No, I know, but I'm just wondering
with
if
a
it's,
video
if
arcade
it's,
and
if it's
some other
targeting
stuff.
A 4- and 6-year-old.
Yeah, you were there in the summer when he was going through the whole thing.
I wasn't.
You weren't? Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was there. I didn't talk to him.
If you got money, Ty will let you in.
Well, they
point.
Serve like
Freddie,
alcohol.
Fred Kirsch, ladies and gentlemen, great point. Freddie bounces back from his miserable wild card round to go 3-1. I went 2-2, and Andy falls to 1-3.
Did I tell you I went 4-0 last week?
Yes, many times. with the spread, it was Andy and Fred at 3-1.
That's all that matters, baby. That's where the money is
Eric
made.
And I went 2-2.
Losers.
So here we go. Through 8 games now of the playoffs.
I'm 7-1.
Eric is leading at 7-1.
Wow, very good.
It's just picks.
Paul is second at 6-2. Andy, 5-3. Fred, 4-4.
I went 1-3, and I'm still beating you. I went 0-4, and I'm still only one game behind you.
You went 1-3 the first week, and 3-1 the second week. With a spread, Andy leads at 7-1.
Booyah.
Paul is second at 6-2. Eric is third at 4-4. And Fred, 3-5.
All right. We'll make that up with two wins this week. All right.
Not if the Patriots
lose. So, you know, you're already eliminated from the championship contention because you're four games behind Andy. There's only three games left.
Only 3 games to go.
No, Super Bowl counts as three.
Okay. It's the MTV money ball.
It's the Chris Berman. It's a 20-point game.
All right, so let's start with the first game. The San Francisco 49ers travel to Atlanta. And by the way, I wanted to bring this up during the show. I didn't get a chance.
You're the host.
Did you know that, you know, as much as we hate the Jets here in New England, and, like, let's just say hypothetically the Patriots ever had a Super Bowl here. You know, not the Patriots having the game,
he's
but
actually talking
Gillette
like
hosted
hosting
a game.
A Super Bowl.
You know, we would hate the Jets coming in and playing the Super Bowl.
Especially if they're the home team.
Take that times 10. Atlanta, New Orleans people hate the Falcons. They hate the Falcons. And they are just praying that the Falcons don't, you know,
really?
Have to come in and use their stadium and all that. So I just thought I'd bring that up.
Where'd you get that from?
I got that from On the Ground Intelligence.
So they don't hate the Niners as much? Because they're
they
division
hate
foes
the
with
Falcons.
Them for
On the Ground Intelligence. I'll stay away from that.
On the Ground Intelligence in
New Orleans. As a matter of fact, not only do the Saints New Orleans fans and Saints hate the Falcons, there's rumors that I think the Falcons would be the home team this year in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
They might refuse to use the New Orleans Saints locker room.
Ooh. Is this stemming from the whole egging incident at the
I don't know, but
airport?
I didn't know this until recently.
You remember that, right?
It was that type of hatred.
Earlier
I remember
year?
That, yeah.
Saints went to Atlanta, and Atlanta.
It's funny. Yeah, I remember the egging incident. Everything you just said, I didn't remember who the teams were that were involved, but I absolutely remember the incident. The Niners are a road favorite by 4.
Niners road favorite by 4.
This seems to be easy in my mind because I think the 49ers are playing really well. You know, you got rid of that hiccup where they got blowed out by the Seahawks, but other than that. I mean, Kaepernick is doing what they brought him in to do, make plays with his arms and his feet, you know, be a playmaker for them, add a different dimension to the offense. We already know their defense is great. They got Justin Smith back. You know, to me, this is too easy. The physical, dominant, strong-willed team versus meow, that tried to give it away last week. So I'm just going with the obvious and say that the 49ers win and cover, and the soft Falcons stay soft.
I'd like to see the Falcons get in just to have a different team, a team that hasn't been there very much. Well, they only have one trip in their history.
Really haven't been there lately.
But they've been there a lot as a franchise.
Yeah.
You know, they're a team that you're used to seeing in these games. And
I worry about both the Falcons and the Ravens, and maybe this is just me being biased. In what you're talking about, I like the idea of a new team, but I worry about going back to one of those Super Bowls that's like
terrible.
45-10. Because they've all been so good recently where it comes down to the wire, it's field goals. I feel like especially the Falcons, I feel like they could lay a freaking egg.
Right. Yeah. So I would like to see the Falcons, but I think realistically, I think the Niners are too much on both sides of the ball. And I just don't trust the Falcons. This is the first playoff game they won was last week, and they almost blew that, too. So even though they're at home, even though they're the number one seed, I'm going to take the Niners to win and cover. I think they'll win by about 7 points.
I'm just going with the better team, and I really think that San Francisco is light years better than Atlanta. I don't think this game will be close. I know it's the obvious, like Andy said, and sometimes that really worries you. When everybody's on board, the Niners. Those are the ones you really fear, but I really can't concoct a scenario that Atlanta wins this game. I think the only thing Atlanta has going for it is home field, and I think even that kind of plays in San Francisco's advantage because Kaepernick, you know, the speed on the edges
in those conditions.
I don't see Atlanta stopping San Francisco in this game. San Francisco looks like they have an offense now to go with the defense. Now, maybe I'm getting fooled by one great game by Kaepernick, but
it was a pretty great game.
I think he's been overall okay until
last pretty good here, too.
Last week, he was outstanding.
Yeah. He was pretty outstanding here for most of the
game. He doesn't have to be great like last week for them to win.
No, but I think they're going to blow him out. I think he is going to be great, and I think they're going to blow him out.
If he plays like that, it's no chance.
I agree with everything you guys say, but I'm picking the Falcons. A, because it's the only way I can get respectable in the standings. But also,
that's so wrong.
But also, B, based on the intelligence I just gave you guys, I can just absolutely see the scenario where the Patriots advance, the Falcons advance, and we become that adopted team in New Orleans where everybody wants us to win down there. And
he always has such an angle.
So
it's a wishful.
Angle is the only thing, because this is what will this is what generally happens for the Patriots, is the inferior team wins. So that, I mean, that's right. That's the best scenario that you could come up with.
So I'm going to go.
It was the inferior team.
I know.
The Giants had to pull an upset to get there.
Going to go with the Falcons just because.
What you do with that inferior team, that's your business.
All right, let's move on to the game of the week.
Patriots by 9.
The higher rated television game, I would imagine.
And that matters.
Yes.
Well, they're going to say it is anyway. Fred. Fox will have a release that says that was.
As I said earlier, these Ravens-Patriots games kill me. I flippity-floppity-floppity-flippity. I can convince myself of either team at any point winning. But I think the fact that they played in Denver a lot of plays, I think they used a lot to win that. I think that's legit. And I also don't buy into the Ray Lewis, win one for Ray crap. I don't care about that. The bottom line is he's not that good anymore. And I think I could easily see the Patriots getting him in mismatches, running a lot in the middle of the field.
And they won one for Ray last week.
Making him look old and slow. And I think the wind, this newfound wind issue that is developing from our boy Paul in Pennsylvania.
Developing issue.
I'm going to go with the Patriots, but it won't be easy. I think it's going to be a dogfight. I think both teams are going to make plays. I like McCourty at safety as opposed to corner in this matchup rather than the first time when he got toasted. I think that's a bonus. But on the flip side, unlike you, I'm worried about Gronk not being there, being in the red zone, not being able to finish, and all of a sudden these slow old defenders in a nice little 20-yard box don't have to cover much field, and you don't have your best player down there. So bring the scoring down a little bit. Yep. I'm going to just go with the typical score, I think, is 27-24 or something in that range. Mm. A field goal game that the Patriots win, but I also worry about Steven Gostkowski if it's blowing like hell and he's got to line up to kick a field goal. So I have no idea, but I'm going 27-24 Patriots.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of
the Ravens could win.
Agree with a lot of what you said.
So we hold yours to last because it's really the most important one.
If you want.
All right.
Well, we'll save Scal's pals for last.
And Kevin wants Scal's to get gals just
that right is the girl from ESP, from Nesson, Jade McCarthy.
She looks a little hotter when she got on.
Kevin, you want to get in on a pick?
I don't have to if you don't want me to.
You want to? Don't be passive. You want to do it, so we'll let you do it. Go ahead, Paul.
I like the Patriots in the game. I think they have a little bit more going for them right now, defensively, the improvement that they've made, with the last couple of weeks. But I'm with Andy. I don't think it's going to be easy, and I can definitely see scenarios that Baltimore can be troublesome. Red zone's going to be huge. I think it's important for Baltimore to sort of be ready. I think the hurry-up has really been effective on goal-to-go situations. The Patriots have been completing, like, 15-yard passes down to, like, the 8-yard line, running to the line and running a play and walking into the end zone. I think Baltimore really needs to be aware of that and find a way to come up with red zone stops. If they can, it's a game. If they can't, I think the Patriots are going to win easy. But I think they'll find a way. I think Ray Lewis and those guys are smart enough to figure out ways to slow down the no huddle. I like Brady. I like the Patriots. The exact score that Andy said, 27-24.
How much does reffing come into play this game? How they call the game?
If the Patriots lose, it'll be enormous.
Right. Good call. Good call.
Are you reffing kidding me?
Yeah, I'm going with the Patriots.
No.
As opposed to what Andy says, Gronk does make a difference, him not being there.
Wait, what? That's not what Andy said.
No, but you say what I don't think it matters.
No, you said that the other day on the show.
No, you said it yesterday. It's like last week when you said 65% chance.
I didn't say it.
Do you have, like, Manti Te'o multiple personality disorder or something? Do you forget what you said yesterday?
What I said is that despite Gronk not being there, at least this time they've had more time to play without him this year. It's not like the sudden loss as it was last year, even though we played in the Super Bowl. He wasn't there. So I think they'll be able to overcome that. But I agree with everything that people have said. This game can go either way. This is not a layup. No way is, even though we all thought, yes, there's a way that the Texans could beat the Patriots last week, we were pretty confident in the Patriots.
I didn't think there was a way the Texans could beat them. That's how confident I was.
So, but this time,
there's a lot of ways that the Ravens can win this game. A lot of tangible ways.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have to play the best game of their careers to beat the Patriots. But having said that, I think the Patriots have got it going on offense. And I think they're a hell of a lot better than they were earlier in the season on defense. Add it all up at home. Patriots win. So
score?
I'm going to say 34-27, something along there. You know, because I think the Ravens have a good offense. I'm not discounting
their offense. It's a lot of points,
Fred. Yeah, it is.
I have a question.
Well, I mean, the line is 50, right?
Is 51. 51?
Yeah. So that should tell you something.
I have a push. So do you.
Okay.
Over.
Kevin, what do you think?
In that scenario, I have to say over. I mean,
going to go Patriots 37, Baltimore 20.
Jeez. Wow.
It's going to be a route. It's going to be easy early.
Route one on route one.
And Kevin's always right.
Route
every
one?
2 years.
Yeah.
I think last week was the Ravens Super Bowl.
Now,
well,
Eric,
the Ravens are playing some.
There's an argument to be made for that last comment.
Sure. There are. The way they acted after that game.
But I don't.
They're playing some inspired football right now.
I don't see how you see that with a team that's been to the AFC title game three times
in 5 years.
That's why
I think they
lost close last year. Yeah. They're not playing just to be in the AFC title game.
If that was the Houston Texans won in that fashion, I would eliminate them the next week.
Yeah.
Or some other team that hasn't been there.
Harbaugh, Flacco, they're trying to get over the cusp.
Even if Denver had won in that kind of fashion, a team that really hasn't been there. But Pittsburgh, Baltimore, teams that are used to being where they are, I think they're able to turn the page after celebrating for 24 hours.
I agree, and I think that's why – well, that's one reason why it's going to be a close game, because these Baltimore-New England games are always close. They're always tough.
Except for the one that was.
Except for the one – well, but
– 09.
Yeah, but and in week three, both teams got to the 30-point mark.
Ish.
I don't think that's going to happen this week partly because if the wins are as bad as we say, I don't think the passing game is going to be as effective on either side. I think the running games on both sides are going to be more prevalent. I do think New England is going to be behind going into the fourth quarter.
Ooh.
And Brady is going to have to engineer a comeback in order for them to try to overcome a very emotional Ravens team that's going to start out early and jump out and get a lead. 28-24 is the final. New England pulls it out.
Oh!
Get your beads ready. They're going back to New Orleans.
Show your tatas.
Wow.
Although Paul says Brady can't play two good playoff games in a row. So
Paul
said
that?
Or
he said that he hasn't played two good playoff games in a row.
I love how Eric says we're going to New Orleans and then he goes, show your tatas.
Well, I said get your beads.
That's what it's for. Especially early in the week before the crowds get crazy. You can see some nice titties.
And it's on the anniversary of the first... This year's Super Bowl will be the anniversary of their first victory in New Orleans, February 3rd, 2002.
Wow.
Shock 11 years later.
I love it, Kevin. Eric.
It'll be Brady against his boyhood team, the whole storyline. That's what you're going to hear all
You're going to load up on beans.
All right, John Rook's here. Hey, John.
Hey, Fred.
What do you think
Eric
about
Gals?
Gals. Everybody's picking the Patriots.
Everybody's picking the Patriots. I have to join.
We're all on the Patriots.
We're all in the tank together. We're all homers.
Okay.
We're all homers.
All right, well, John's got his playbook up
now,
next.
Now, do you at least break from the trend here and say it's a blowout? Or say the trend.
I don't think this is a blowout at all.
Okay.
I don't think it's a blowout. In fact, I tend to go where Escal is going on this one. I think it may very well be the Patriots coming from behind to grab it.
I want to hear a lot of another Patriots.
Sounds
first
dirty.
Down.
It did. It sounded like a reach around or something.
All right, John Rook's up next with the playbook, and then Football Nation at 4 o'clock. Pre-game social at 4 o'clock, right?
4:15. It's
Sunday.
A late kickoff, as you've been telling us all week. 6:40 is the real kickoff.
Big
Eric,
one.
Live from the press box with huge updates.
All right. Talk to you then.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.